This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that will make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go, but the prettiest sight you'll see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Friends, it's Christmas once more.
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music dear to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours. Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world, and welcome to the November 28th edition of After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running producer on this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne. I'm the newest producer of the show.
And Chris is moving his car. We've had
a hell of a night with the parking lot out there.
We have parking lot problems out here.
Yeah.
So.
Looks like we're getting it pretty taken care of from what I can see in the cameras.
Okay, so. That's good. Plus, we got on a little bit early.
Yeah, not too early. I mean, it's only three after.
Yeah, well, And we started our Christmas season of music, which is for the month of December, or actually after Thanksgiving. Between Thanksgiving and Christmas, we only play GLBT Christmas music. Chris is not a big fan of that, but Wes and I...
I love my Christmas music.
I do, too.
I turned on the Christmas music for the first time today on the way down here.
And the one you heard at the top of the hour was from the late, great...
Sid Spencer.
Yes.
And we were doing, It's Beginning to Look a Lot Like Christmas.
Yeah.
And of course it
and
is.
And that's off his Christmas album. And that, if you can still find that...
I found it. It's right here.
Yes. It's really an excellent country Christmas album. Let's see now. Do you have a nice Thanksgiving?
I had a pretty decent Thanksgiving. I mean, got to sleep in. Helped mom finish cooking because.
You were with the mom and them.
Well, yeah. Horse mom lives right next door, so it was really easy. So
hard to get away.
I got home. Got home on Wednesday night and. We cooked pies and prepped up stuff for Thursday.
Uh-huh.
She had a patient she had to go see Thursday morning. And then after she got home, she finished cooking the turkey and all the casseroles and everything like that. And we went over and partook of a fabulous feast.
Oh, nice.
She marinated a turkey overnight. So, I mean, it was juicy, juicy, juicy.
Oh,
so it was absolutely delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Ate lots of food. Wasn't feeling too hot the next day. I couldn't figure out if it was because I ate too much or if something just didn't agree with me or something.
The tryptophan.
No, actually, that made me pass out after I finished eating. I think I passed out for about 3 hours afterwards. So, but it was all delicious. It was just absolutely fabulous.
Yeah.
I mean, the juiciest turkey I've ever had.
Well, I had a very unusual Thanksgiving.
Uh-oh.
Well, in the past, Judy and I have...
Speaking of Judy.
Yes, I know. She's Judy and I have done Thanksgiving at Mary's.
Can't do that this year.
No, I know. So we just kind of didn't do that. We did something completely different and non-Thanksgiving. Where is Chris?
I don't know. He's out there talking, so I thought I'd come in because you were talking about things I wanted to talk about.
Well, but not yet.
I know. It's not time for me. No, not this.
It's not time for you.
I'm talking Thanksgiving.
Well, somebody tell Chris
he's
come
right
in here.
He's right there.
Now I have
it's
to
a holiday miracle. I was able to move my freaking car without cussing out people. It's amazing. People should take notes about that. Oops, did I use my outside voice?
Yes.
Amazing, isn't it, Chris?
So,
oh, darling, you always are, whether it's a couch or a chair.
We just did. But I did something I have never done before. I cooked a turkey. Actually, I baked the turkey. And
the first time.
For the first time ever. I bake pies, I bake cakes.
Cakes in the sun in Hawaii.
Yeah, I do that. But I don't really cook a lot. And so we had a cool straight boy upstairs from in my apartment complex, and he gave me a couple of tips. I put the turkey in the oven. It came out fabulous.
So you stuck it in and pulled it out.
Yep.
And the thing popped up.
We can still kind of hear you, Wes.
Hi, Wes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, we could hear you.
Some
really
of us
well.
Can move the cars around without cussing
Thank
on
what?
It.
Nah, watch it, buddy.
So, tonight... We've got, we're going to talk about events going on in the community. Judy Reeves is here for the After Hours Quickie, fourth Saturday of the month. We spotlight GCAM. And then David Lejeune is here with everything else.
And
what?
I knew I forgot to put the dirty picture in with the schedule to remind him.
What?
We also have Stage Door coming in.
You're kidding.
No.
Oh, David doesn't know that.
Yeah, they started their new show yesterday.
Oh.
I only told you in an email and sent you the next schedule for the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I forgot to include a dirty picture for you to actually open the email.
Yeah, yeah, you have to do that or I'm not going to open it.
Yeah. That's probably why it doesn't get the ones
I sent. Somebody needs to tell David. When are they showing up?
About 1:30.
Great. Okay.
You were notified.
Maybe I will hang around.
You're first.
Look.
Actually, I'm first, but I don't have it in front of me.
That's a surprise.
You have to unplug, yes.
Join the candidate for Emperor 2060, Reese, Matt Gill, on December 3rd for Steak Night at Chance's Bar, where the lesbians provide the surf, and they'll provide the turf. For $9.50, you get a 12-ounce ribeye, baked potato, two other sides, dinner roll, and domestic beer well drink. On the 11th, there's Lion, Mooses, and Bears, Oh My, a show at Crocker. Direct benefit for the Osito Foundation. Come out and meet representatives from the foundation and bring a new teddy bear to donate or buy one at the show. That's for a candidate for Emperor 26, Matt Gill. Empress for candidate, Sherri-Ann Bouton, is hosting A Dream is a Wish That Your Heart Makes on Friday, December 4th at the BRB at 8 p.m. I guess someone else got the other Rebesis event. So, oh, here we go. Here's another Rebesis. And Falcon is on to Saturday, December 5th. Two events, two bars, one night. From 8 to 10:30 at Tony's Corner Pocket, A Very Berry Christmas, a fundraiser for Hatch on behalf of the Houston Area Bears. At the same time, Alice Cuevas will be taking your picture with our Leather Daddy Santa, which will be Mr. Leather Houston Duke. Pictures will be $10 each. Following that, they will head over at 11:30 to the Ripcord for a hot jock auction. Come out and buy the jock right off the stud. A fundraiser for Thomas Street Clinic Toy Drive on behalf of National Leather National Leather Association Houston. And once again, Alex Cuevas and Mr. Leather Houston Duke will be at the Ripcord for the Leather Daddy Santa picture. Still $10 and a great stocking stuffer. As with all events for Reese's, 10% go to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Redeem Scholarship Fund and the other usual suspects. Sin Party Houston is having a benefit for to assist hers on December 5th from 9:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. at the Drake. You must be 21 and up to go to this event. The Drake is at 1902 Washington Avenue, Suite E. VIP tickets are available. For more information, go to sinpartyhouston.com or brownpapertickets.com. The Bayou City Performing Arts present the Bayou Bunch 2009-2010 concert season. On December 5th and 8th, join the Bayou City Women's Chorus at Unity Church for Winter Light. The Gay Men's Chorus of Houston will be at the Jones Hall on December 15th for a Twisted Holiday. More events to follow in 2010. Find out more information at BayouCityPerformingArts.org. And don't forget that Nancy Ford is hosting the annual holiday extravaganza. From the cohorts at Kindred Spirits Foundation, they'll be screening the nostalgic Judy Garland Christmas special from 1963. Friends from the Bayou City Women's Chorus will provide special seasonal music, plus we'll have a caroling sing-along and a delightful raffle. Your $20 donation benefits the fine women's programs of Sisters, Bearing Support Network, Houston Buyers Club, and Lesbian Health Initiative Houston. This will be taking place on Sunday.
Sunday.
December 6th, starting at 6 p.m. at In and Out. For more information, go to kindredspiritshouston.org.
Wow. The Daddy Boy Project is collecting toy donations for the 15th annual AFH Red Ribbon Toy Drive. This drive serves children living and affected by HIV/AIDS. Please donate your unwrapped gifts appropriate for children ages of birth to 12 years old now until December 9th. Drop-off locations, BRB, George, 611, EJ's, and Michael Outpost. More locations coming soon. For more information, go to dubcubed.daddyofmontrose.org. And also, they will be collecting gifts at the December 4th show at the BRB for the candidate of for Empress 26 of Aresis, Sherri-Ann Bouton, which starts at 9 o'clock. The Houston GLB Community Center exhibits photographs of Christopher Garrett for World AIDS Day. For World AIDS Day, which is December 1st, for those who don't know, the Houston GLBT Community Center will present an exhibition of the photographs of Christopher Garrett. The exhibition will be held at the Community Center, 3400 Montrose Boulevard, Suite 207, on Tuesday, December 1st, from noon until 8 p.m. The Community Center Board of Directors will host a reception with light refreshments from 6 until 8. The exhibition and reception are open to the public at no charge. Garrett's photographs will be available for purchase. The artist will retain proceeds from any sales. Selected photographs will remain on display at the community center through the month of December. We are thrilled to exhibit Christopher Garrett's wildlife photography, says Tim Bruckover of the Community Center Board of Directors. His vivid pictures serve as an example that even in the midst of a somber occasion like World AIDS Day, we can and should admit great beauty and wonder into our life. The Christopher Garrett exhibition is one of several activities that will mark World AIDS Day on December 1st in Houston. More information is available at the website, dubcubed.worldaidsdayhouston.org.
The First Unitarian Universalist Church of Houston on Sunday, December the 6th, will have Stand on the Side of Love. Recent attacks against city controller and candidate for mayor Anise Parker concerning her sexual orientation have been made by a small group of clergy from our city. This is not acceptable in the city of Houston and should spur us to action. The Reverends Keyes and Robinson have decided to take action, to let it be known to all that we as clergy and the First Church as a congregation will not be silent in the face of such hate and intolerance. We declare that the people are, we are people of faith who stand on the side of love. Anise Parker has graciously accepted the invitation of the ministers to join us on December the 6th to worship so we can publicly stand with her. Come help proclaim that Houston is a city filled with those who stand on the side of love. Ms. Parker also plans to join us for fellowship after the service in Channing Hall. Please stay and let her know that she and her family are loved and supported by this faith community. The Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star Inc. presents Lights of Love Houston 2009 and the Aresis Christmas Show, Lights of Love, hosted by Empress 17, Barbara Walker, and Grand Duchess 25, Natasha Nicole Siebert. On Sunday, December 6th, there's going to be a light buffet at 6:30, names reading at 7, and this is going to be at the Brazos River Bottom. The Aresis Christmas Show is hosted by Emperor 15, Bob Bouton.
Bouton.
And
you can just say Bob three times. It does the same effect.
And
seriously,
Empress 15, Renee Monroe. For more information, or if you're interested in sponsoring a name for the Lights of Love, please email aresis_pr@aresis.org. This is a benefit for Legacy and the Usual Suspects.
You know, the photography exhibit they're having at the community center, Christopher Garrett is a big member of Aresis.
Is he?
Cool. Yeah.
On Sunday, December 6th, I'm just going to go all through all these Sunday ones because I got a bunch of them.
I know, dear. Next weekend is just incredible.
Yes, it is. Sunday, December the 6th is the Red Ribbon Toy Party benefiting AIDS Foundation Houston, hosted by the Hotel Derrick. From 11 to 3, there's going to be a Valencio Sunday Funday brunch with music and bottomless cocktail bar from $35 a person. Reservations are strongly encouraged. And then from 5 to 6, there's a VIP welcome reception in the Great Room. And then from 6 to 11, the Toy Party in the Bravo Ballroom and Living Room. General admission is $15 gift card or a toy. VIP tickets are $75 a person. Attendance is limited to 500, and you must be 21 years of age or older. Let's see here. Then, Mr., Ms., and Ms. BRB 2010 Contest, a true Southern BRB tradition.
Ooh.
Application and entry fee deadline is Sunday, December the 6th by 12 midnight. The contest is going to take place on Friday, March 12th, 2010. Please read the application packet carefully.
That you can get from any bartender at the BRB, located at 2400 Brazos.
The men's health lecture. Two experts share their knowledge. All you need to know about testosterone replacement therapy.
Ooh.
Sport nutrition, exercise, micronutrition supplementation, other therapies to help improve lean body composition and metabolism, sexual function, energy levels, mood, and general quality of life. There's going to be speakers Dr. Michael Scali and Nielsen Virgil.
Nielsen Virgil.
Okay. This is going to take place on Saturday, December the 15th at 6 p.m. at the United Way, which is at 50 Wall Drive in Houston. Seating is limited. Reservations are encouraged. There will be light snacks provided. To RSVP, email lecturereservation@gmail.com. And then the Empire of the Royal Sovereign Imperial Court of the Single Star, Inc. presents crazy, campy, and clever Christmas carols for the complete crew to love.
Ooh.
Hosted by candidate for Emperor 26, Falcon Fur, at 2 p.m. on Saturday, December 19th at EJ's Bar, 2517 Rouse Street in Houston, Texas. A benefit for the Crew of Olympus Charities through Rain 25, with 10% of all proceeds going to the Kimberly Ann O'Neill Believe in a Dream Scholarship Fund.
Wow. Okay. Events, some of the events going on in Houston. Those are the ones that cross my desk. Now we've got Judy here with GCAM.
Hello.
My watch is off.
Off what?
I've got quarter after.
No, it's actually 20 after, dear.
Yeah.
Hi, Henry.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm just fine. You have a bag sitting in front of you.
And one to the left of her, too.
I was waiting for this to say something.
I knew it was coming in there somewhere.
Yes, I do. I have a bag in front of me.
And to the left of you.
So I've heard. And we won't even talk about what's to the right of me.
No.
I have a very special little item. I brought visuals for the
radio. You certainly did.
I did.
It's a frame. It's a... gold metal frame.
Uh-oh.
With it's an object in the middle that's surrounded by pink and black. But it's
an Art Deco look.
It's a bronze triangle.
That's right.
And what does it say on it?
It says in very large capital letters, Fanny, 1935 to 1991, Jim Farmer. And it has the emblem or the logo or whatever you want to call it.
Of Mary's?
Of the National Bar of Texas, Mary's Naturally on it.
Where did this come from?
Well, that's a very long story. And unfortunately, I only have, 20 minutes tonight. So I will go through very small, short parts of it.
Okay.
When Mary's closed on October 22nd for the final time.
Yes, it's not going to reopen.
It's not going to be reopened. We also have an article here that was published December 26th of 2002.
Yes.
In which they said Mary's is closed and will not reopen. But this time it's true. It is true.
It is true.
And Tim Brookover from the community center and I set out on a quest to find out all we could about what happened to Mary's, Mary's history, anything we could get.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do this would be to locate the owners of the property. Mary's is kind of it's a real layered thing, or was.
But nobody knows who the owners of the property are.
Well,
it's a corporation, and nobody can find out who is part of it.
Can I say my name on the... I could find out.
No.
Anyway, I am in touch with the owners of the property.
You are?
Yes, I are. And in fact, I was blessed today with the opportunity to actually go onto the property with the owners.
Really?
And looked at every square inch of what's left. The sad part is, there is not a plan at this point to tear down the buildings and, you know, put up the phantom barbecue place they keep talking about.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen. That's not the plan.
I see.
The plan is to, everybody hold on to your seats, to open a gay bar.
Hey, hey!
If at all possible.
Yes.
Now, the biggest problem is, at this point, they're being broken into and vandalized on a daily basis.
By whom?
You name it, they've been there.
Oh.
There are people, you know, who have said, well, I went to Mary's every day for 20 years, and I don't know what to do with myself. Well, find something to do besides vandalize Mary's.
Oh.
Because the bottom line is, if this continues, they cannot keep pouring good money after bad by building new fences and repairing new gates and repairing old gates and doing this, that, and the other. They've got huge 2-inch chains on there now with padlocks as big as my fist. And now, instead of going through the gates and the doors, they're going through the fences.
Ooh.
Bottom line is, they destroy enough of the property, and it will be plowed down because there's nothing else to do.
Yeah.
Nobody can be going over there every single day and shoring it up. And that's a shame. So I would ask, there have been two arrests over there.
Good.
And they are going to prosecute.
Good.
Anytime someone's found on the property, they will prosecute, and if they're caught. And I agree wholeheartedly with that.
You know, yes.
Mary's was Mary's, and Mary's did a lot of things, and Mary's has some wonderful memories, and we all do. We have fabulous memories of Fanny Farmer.
Mm-hmm.
We have pictures of Fanny on the elephant at the Pride Parade. You know, this, that, and the other. This was the plaque that was actually put at the base of the tree that was planted in the back patio, back 40, whatever you want to call it.
When
Fanny died.
Okay.
Now, Fanny's ashes are actually on the patio.
Mm-hmm.
But this was put at the base of the tree. It disappeared many, many years ago.
Like yes, I know.
Ago. Nobody ever thought we'd see it again.
And here it is framed.
And here it is framed. It's going to be unframed, though. I'm sorry. I don't know who framed it.
Well, it is, it's a very, amateurish.
It's very not, yes, not well done.
No.
There's scotch tape in the frame and all this. But nobody ever thought we'd see this again.
I certainly didn't. Yeah.
One of the owners came across it today in our walkthrough, and it was really mm-hmm. odd because the office, everybody who's ever been in the office upstairs went into, has been cleaned out by the owners because people kept breaking in, and they were scattering things all over the place.
Rifling through.
And
you think they were trying to find souvenirs or... Mm-hmm.
No, I think they were causing trouble because you can't walk a square inch of the bar floor without crunching under the glass. They're just in there destroying stuff. There's no
what glass?
The bar glass.
Yeah,
everything.
You're kidding. Vandals have gone in and smashed all the glassware.
It is absolutely horrible in there.
Oh.
Bottles, glasses, whatever was glass. There was a big Mary's logo on glass, if you remember correctly.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Oh.
Now it's in the floor in many pieces. So it's very sad. It really is, to see that people would actually be doing this. And that the owners are going through this grief. And, I mean, these people absolutely have no reason to try to protect the community or to open a gay bar in the community. This is of no real interest to them personally.
They're not gay.
They're not gay.
Oh.
But they have a real feel for history and a real feel for our community, and they have owned that property for a very, very long time. Almost a century.
They knew Fanny.
They knew Fanny, yes. No, they knew Mr. Farmer.
Oh.
Yes, and they knew Gay, and they've gone through the gamut of owners and managers and everything else. Right this very minute, because of all this that's happening at Mary's, because they haven't made final decisions on what to do with the property, because there's a lot of legal stuff going on in their lives right now,
uh-huh.
a lot of other stuff. You know, TABC got into all of this, and you know, laws have been broken and so on and so forth. Because of all of this, they want to remain anonymous for a period of time until they get all this under control.
I can understand that.
And I have been given permission to kind of speak mm-hmm. about Mary's and so on. I'm hoping that the nice gentleman from Fox 26 News and I get together Monday and talk. Ned Hibbard
called you?
Yes, he has called me. We have not been able to get together and do anything, but they're interested in doing a story on Mary's and the history and so on.
Wow.
And so I'm real excited about that. And there'll be more history. Of course, everybody's concerned about, what about the bar tops? You know, well...
Yeah.
That's one of those things we're working on.
What kind of condition is
the bar tops, with all of the break-ins, thank you, Jesus, the bar tops are not any more damaged than they have been.
Okay.
So that's a relief. The bar itself has been through a war.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people have pulled out the sides of it and so on. I don't know why. The inside of the bar where the bartenders were is all just, it's nothing but trashed.
You're kidding.
No, it's just, it's ridiculous. It was something I would expect a teenager to go do. You know?
Well, it could be a lot of that. We do have a large number of homeless teens that run in there and used to take up residence between the Burger King and Mary's.
That's true.
Well, these are adults that they're running into when they're on the property, and adults that I ran into today when we were on the property.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
We had gone through the bar,
mm-hmm.
we'd gone through the back 40, we'd gone through the patio, and we were in the building. In the back building.
Yeah.
Which actually was a home at one time.
Yeah.
We were in the building. We went upstairs to the offices. We went into one office, nothing, you know, just to survey, because I was getting to see it all. I took pictures.
Yeah.
And one of the owners went up with me. The other one stayed downstairs and opened the office door, the old office door. And sure enough, there was someone in there. And
what were they doing?
Scared the... Sleeping.
Oh, my God.
Sitting in a chair, wrapped in a blanket, sleeping. And it scared this poor individual to death. It was a female. And she just, you know, went kind of berserk for a moment. And it's like, and I, like, I'm hanging on to her because I didn't know what happened. She opened the door, she came screaming back and, like, literally plowed into me. And it's like, okay, settle down. Tell, you know, it's like, so finally I was like, okay, go back downstairs and everything, uh-huh, everything's going to be fine. And it's like, what do? It's not like I had my gun in my hand, you know. I'm in Texas, but I don't wear my gun on my hip. So, you know, I opened the door and I just propped it open with my foot. And I looked at him and I said, can I say that word? I think I can say that word. You get out of here,
yeah,
and do not come back and tell all your friends that we are here. We're here to stay. I'm here. And I do have a gun. And I'm like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. And he couldn't get out of there fast enough. But, you know, the fact is, every time they go up there, they find someone on the patio or someone on the stage asleep or someone under, you know, around behind the outside bar or something.
Oh, that's awful.
And it's horrible, you know. And the police say, well, you know, we got a lot of druggies around here. It's like, and that's an answer? You know, hello. So anybody who's going by Mary's and they see somebody on the property, if it doesn't look like someone who belongs there, i.e. these owners don't tend to dress in dirty T-shirts and go barefoot and then they do shave.
Yeah.
You know? And they do wash their hair on occasion. Obviously, if they look like they belong there, you might want to leave them alone. If they look like they're vagrants or they're drunks or they're on drugs or whatever, you might want to call the police.
Mm.
You know? Don't go on the property to do so. Trespassing is a real problem here.
Yeah.
And, but... You know, it's things like this little plaque here for Fanny.
Yeah.
That hasn't been seen in a million years. Nobody ever expected to see. And I was just lucky enough that because I chased the guy off, they were grateful and gave this to me today.
Oh.
You know, I don't know that I'd have ended up with it otherwise, because they did know Mr. Farmer, and this is important to them.
Yeah.
You know, and... It's
well, you'll
preserve
it.
It's a
kiss. Oh,
yeah. And then it's true.
Yeah.
And they talk to me. He says, well, we can go hang this in our den or whatever, and we'll remember Mr. Farmer and their granddad. Fanny and their granddad were friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll remember them and so on. And I said, yeah, but how pushy can I get here?
Yeah.
And I am pushy, and I tell him, I say, you know what? I'm going to push because that's all I know how to do. Our history is important to us. Mary's history is a major chunk, and we don't want to see it walk away. We don't want to see it go because someone didn't, you know, renew their permit, or they didn't, you know,
yeah,
pay for their alcohol and their, you know, et cetera, et cetera. That's not a good reason to lose our history. And these people are working with me. And that's not to say they're just going to hand it all over to GCAM or anybody else. You know, this is their property, and this all belongs to them.
Yes.
And they have a sentimental attachment.
And it belongs to them because...
It belongs to them because they've owned that property for nearly a century.
And the previous owner...
What's the history of the property?
Owner of Mary's did not pay the rent for quite a few months.
Oh, well, yes. They yes.
The leasee.
Yes.
Actually, the story is... the problem was with TABC and their permits and so on.
Oh.
I mean, I don't believe that the owners went in and foreclosed. I think it was a series of events that created the situation.
So
that the owners
TABC
are now,
closed them down.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, that's the way it goes. which is not unusual to Mary's history, sitting here looking at this. You know, I mean, that's why they always close, because they have permit problems.
Yeah.
And in this particular situation, there was no getting around this or getting through this, and so the owners have stepped in.
Oh.
And I'm very glad to be talking with them, and
yeah,
I'm more than happy to be their spokesperson or whatever. I do hope when they're ready to come out, so to speak, well, I mean, I don't know how else to say that.
Yeah.
You know, One of the reasons they want to stay back out of the limelight, so to speak, is because they haven't made decisions on what to do. You know, we have this person who wants to open a bar. We have this person who wants to open a bar. We have this person that wants to do so-and-so. And then we have people, of course, who want to buy the property. And they are not interested in selling. So in order to be able to sit back and make informed decisions amongst themselves as owners, they need that peace and quiet and to be left alone.
Okay.
And every time they see somebody, it's like, oh, we need to open Mary's again. Oh, we need to do this, that, and the other. It's like they don't need the input from 500 strangers.
Yeah.
And I guess I'm not as strange as I thought because they actually tolerate me well. But anyway.
They come to you?
No, she tracked them down.
Sort of, you know. Yeah, literally, I stalked them until we finally met. You know.
What?
Yes, I did, so to speak. But that's okay because they didn't consider it stalking.
Oh, good.
Okay. But
you left their couch alone, didn't you?
I have not seen their couch. I have not touched their couch. I refuse to lay on their couch. You know. My pussy might, but I won't. So, okay, we went there again, didn't we? Chris was in the room. It wasn't my fault.
Okay.
You know, but the thing is, there is still, I'm not going to say there's stuff there because the stuff there has pretty well been brutalized. But they have stuff that it's very possible they'll be turning loose of some of it.
Oh.
And so, you know, I plan to keep a really open line of communications. We're going to be going back to the property. I don't know when yet. I'll be talking to him again, and we'll make plans to meet over there again and so on. So I just, I can't stress enough that if somebody sees somebody on the property or carrying things away from the property or trying to, you know, brutalize a property in any way, shape, or form.
Call the police.
Call the police. Just call the police. They're not a half a block away and, you know, tell them it's happening now.
Yeah.
And these people are more than willing to prosecute, not because they don't like gays, but because they don't want their property destroyed.
Well, of course.
And I can't blame them for that.
I wonder how much of it the people who are doing this, it comes down to, they've heard the stories over the years of what goes on with Mary's, and usually the excuse always gets thrown to, it's the landlords. The landlords are screwing over us.
Yeah.
In all these businesses around here that are closing, it's the landlords that are screwing us over.
Yeah.
And they're looking at this as, the landlords are screwing us over, and the person who rented, at least the name Mary's for these past couple of years, screwed him over too. And they're just trying to get whatever they, either get what they can out of it before they figure it's going up on the auction block, or, you know, just try and strike back at who they think the evil people are of this, of the leaser, especially, and the landlord.
Especially if they ever got thrown out of the place.
Yeah. But they need to know this is not the landlord. I mean, the landlord has never stepped up to this property like this before. They are not responsible for Mary's being closed. They are not responsible for anything that's happened with Mary's in the past. The only thing they're guilty of is leasing the property to the right or wrong people so that Mary's can continue.
Yeah.
And the plan at this point is, and I basically told them, I said, you know, she says, I don't understand why. Well, part of the problem is we're losing things right and left in our community, and people don't know that they're not going to go to bed one night and wake up and there's going to be a level field where Mary's used to be.
Yeah.
Everybody's afraid that it's all going to go away.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the part
of it. And they've had no closure. And it's like the plan at this point is not to destroy and flatten out this land. The plan is to leave these buildings standing and to for this property to remain in the community in basically the same form. But not if they destroy it to the point where you can't go in them and be safe.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
They're ripping out walls.
Yeah, because you're looking at a point of all across the city. You're, I mean,
yeah, we've opened two more businesses in the last week.
I live out in I work out in Tomball, and I keep hearing businesses that are, you know, established restaurants even, who are closing down, and it's because of, they're coming down saying, you know, it's the landlord. I sat in a Wendy's and heard the manager saying, look, all these rumors about us closing, it's not Wendy's plan to close us. It's up to the landlord.
Right.
And so a lot of people hear these things, and that's where they get worried. And then when you start hearing of La Strada, when you hear about Hollywood closing.
Yeah.
Hollywood Video.
Video.
Video. Video.
You know, that sort of thing, I think, puts a scare into people.
Exactly.
And hopefully some people will be a little more vigilant and keep an eye out for this.
Well, I hope you'll keep us updated on what's going on at Mary's.
Well, my hope is when they come out in the community, so to speak, I hope to get them on here for a spot.
Oh, yeah, I'd love it.
Maybe we can do a lengthy spot then.
Yeah.
But they're going to be around, so it's not like we have to do it in the next week or two. They're here for a while until everything gets straightened out and settled.
Okay.
So
yeah, there's a lot of history there.
Yeah.
Yeah. More history than you'd ever believe. I have the history on the property, and right now I don't really feel like I can disclose it until they're ready to be. Yeah. No. Wow.
Main thing to
that kind of stuff can be traced.
Well, the main thing to remember about it, though, is, and I think through everything you were saying, is people out there, remember, anybody going in there and doing what they're doing is destroying our history.
Yes,
exactly. You bet.
They're destroying our history. I mean, just like you mentioned the glass etching.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of our history. It's gone now. It can never be looked at again. Yeah.
And it's funny.
And I'm hoping that I'm going to say this now because we got 2 GCAM people here. I'm hoping that some more of this stuff, like this placard, will end up with GCAM. As much of it as we can possibly get, because that is a lot of history. And
I would
really like to go down to the counseling center and be able to walk around and see that hanging up on the wall.
Yeah. You know, right now I'm a little nervous about that. You will at some point, but right now it's like...
You're afraid somebody's going to take it off the wall.
Until the Mary stuff settles in, I think we need to just keep it locked up.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you, but I'm hoping one day soon I'll be able to see it on the wall.
Even better, I see it back in Mary's Naturally 2.0.
Safely.
Yeah.
Yes, 2.0.
Yeah. There we go. Okay, we've got stage door.
Yes, stage door is waiting in the wings.
Okay.
So how about a little bit of music before
we
come in here?
Caroling, caroling, down we go. Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the snow. Christmas bells are ringing. Joyous voices sweet and clear. Sing the sound of hearty cheer.
Supposed to be Rudolph, but they got this mislabeled, so it ended up being Dance of the Sugar Plum Fairies.
Sung by what? Robot Chicken?
I think so. That's not what I planned on, but okay.
I'm sitting here, and I had the headphones off, but they were up loud, and you had the mics off in there, so the speaker's actually playing in the in-studio, and I'm hearing this, buck, 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 and I'm going, what the... I know some of us on the show are interested in chicken, but that's not what we're looking for.
You more than anybody.
We'll look at one half. We'll look at one third of your third. You can make it down. Just grab it and pull
there
it down.
There you go.
There you go.
I think I walked in at the wrong time.
Oh, goodness.
We've got virgins here, don't we?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Not that kind on the back patio.
No, the ink is not here.
Oh, darn.
Don't scare him away.
Oh, boo-hoo.
Yeah,
true.
She's trying to unhook the phone.
Cheryl! What are you doing? Somebody's having a hard time over there, Chris.
Community theater meets community radio. God help us all. Joining us in studio now is Stage Door, Inc., starting up their final performance of the season.
That has all the information, so that way he knows. Mm-hmm.
So... Oh, now I finally get the poster.
I got you. There you go. See, I'm keeping up with Stage Door because Mark's on my friend list on Facebook now. So
I'm a Facebook whore.
Yes, you are.
Yes, I noticed. Hey.
He's right. He's right, though.
Hey, I did notice that the one time I peeked on there, it's like, oh, my God. Because I refuse Facebook. Oh, I refuse it completely.
Well, I've discovered Twitter this week.
And so I looked on there the one time, I saw, oh, my God, this is the kind of stuff that goes on here. And next thing you know, you're going to have us farming for you.
There is farming on there.
I know. That's all they talk about, the big men's socials anymore. The hell with real food. Let's talk about harvesting virtual food. But joining us here is Stage Door, Inc. Unless I say this is the final performance of this season. Who snored?
That was me.
Oh.
Do I need to turn off his microphone?
Boy, I never thought I'd be saying this, but where's Zach?
I know.
With the performance is the Christmas Express. And so let's introduce everyone who's here with the show.
I'm Elaine Johnson. I play Hilda.
I'm Brian Sanchez. I play Satch.
I'm Cheryl Raid, and I play Maggie.
The rest of them don't matter. Oh, no. They don't matter.
Are they the groupies?
Right there, honey. It flies.
Never
speak. It doesn't bite.
Speak. Oh, I'm Consuelo Suarez.
She's actually blonde, but
I'm blonde. You say my hair. I'm the assistant stage manager.
Woo-hoo! Woo-hoo!
He's a blind guy.
Token.
Well, that was.
Token blind guy.
Token blind.
And the two of you.
And us two. I'm Mark Glover.
Identity crisis.
It's radio.
Damn, the surgery worked well.
Yep. I also have accent now.
I'm Mark Anthony, and I am the executive director of Stage Door.
And I'm Dario, I guess, the backstage person, technical director, the door repairman. Whatever.
Italian.
Italian. It's a Dario.
He's the one who'll sell you boxed wine. How Italian's that?
That's a theater policy. No?
Oh, well.
That's boxed wine.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Irish.
Yeah. And an Italian
selling.
Thank you,
Mark. Thank you. But don't buy that kind of.
Okay, so how many of you are new here to doing the show with us?
I am.
She is.
You were here before. Right? Mm-hmm. So, about the traditional question I have to ask. Why theater? Why?
Take two.
I can't help it. She was just in here.
Take two.
What's in the Bible?
Why community theater and why with
Whatever
these
is,
crazy people?
Why us?
I'll let you go first, Cheryl.
Okay.
That way
why?
He can just say ditto, like
yeah,
everyone else
that's
does.
True. Why Dario and Mark?
And why community?
They're so creative.
Honey, you already have the part.
They gave me money.
I've hung around with them enough. No.
Try again.
I just moved here in June, mm-hmm. So I just wanted to do something, and they were just there.
Okay, that's a good excuse.
What, the mall doesn't have the mall walking program anymore?
No. I didn't even know it was a mall. So they were just there, so I just said, hey, why not?
Or oi.
Oi. Oi. Oi is what I said, really. Oi gewalt.
Can we say that on the air?
This is the Christmas show, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm the token Jew. He's the token blind guy.
Gee, now we just need a subway system here in Houston. We can get around, finally.
We got a bunch of tokens.
Your turn.
Oh.
You can't say ditto after that one.
What was the question again?
Why community theater and why stage door?
I don't know, and I don't know.
He's pleading the fifth.
He's the token.
We don't allow that here.
That's a smart one. Smart
okay.
Choice.
Then I'll give an actual answer then. You said why community theater?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess because, I don't know, it's amazing to see what can come out of very little, and that's kind of saying a lot more, basically, because, I mean, if you see the show, the set is fantastic, and it's based on, like, a budget that is, like, 1/10,000th of what everybody else has.
$40.
Ditto.
There we go.
Only thing we bought was paint and tape.
Yeah. And it's so wonderful to see that. And not only that, but, you know, the talent, you know, a lot of people get paid to do what we do, but we don't get paid to do what we do. So it's real nice to be able to go somewhere and just, you know, do what you like. Hmm. And as for these two, well, they're really passionate about what they do, and they spread it to everybody else around them. So it's really nice to have that.
I've seen him spread a lot around.
Yeah. I was going to say, he already got the part, didn't he?
When you coming?
Oh, I'm not in the play. I don't know these people.
Let me just pick him up. With the token, I
will. He's Houston playwright.
Okay. And this is by Pat Cook. He said he's a Houston playwright.
Oh, cool.
I'm looking for the corn dog.
It's not on. There is no corn dog, or will there be one in this show? Sorry.
Maybe.
That's it. I thought I was going to go watch this one, but since there's no corn dog, I'm not there.
Liar.
It's a it's a running joke we have with them.
See, I don't
Christmas
understand.
Corn dog. We'll just put a bow on it. Have Satch deliver it to Chris in the movie theater.
Would it be a Hebrew national dog?
No, it's a running joke I have with them that I've noticed in a lot of the performances. There was a corn dog appeared in it. And so I've joked about them constantly about a corn dog. When they did Rocky Horror, they were supposed to call out, "You're a corn dog, Frankenfurter." And
yeah. Well, my cast didn't really remember that. They were a little preoccupied with pelvic thrusting.
Go figure.
I think he was more preoccupied making sure he didn't fall out of that outfit at the time.
Well, that too.
That's why, I still wanted to pick on Zach, but he's not here.
You can still pick on him. We'll tell him.
He's probably listening if he's not as smart for him.
He's picking on me all night.
No, don't say they, because Mark, I don't pick on blind people.
What, you just...
I saw that hand gesture you made. That counts.
But he didn't.
So what is the Christmas Express about?
Elaine?
Oh, that's me. basically, it's about...
Basically, it's about...
Dude.
Oh, sorry.
One at a time, please.
It's about the small town of Holly that pretty much they have lost the Christmas spirit altogether. The town's closing down, and we have a visitor who shows up and kind of renews the spirit in everyone, and antics ensue.
Ensuing antics everywhere.
But it's just about how this person shows up and affects these different characters in this little town, and it's all set in the Holly Railroad Station, which my character runs this railroad station. Her father used to own it, and it was once the hub of the city, and now it's just kind of a dying town. And it's just about what happens to all these characters. And
you got Elizabeth Taylor to be in your performance?
Yes!
We did.
Yes.
Well, shut my mouth.
Okay.
If you like, especially like Hallmark Christmas films, it's just like a Hallmark film put live on stage.
Okay.
Very family friendly.
Yes.
Ew.
It's Christmas.
Who let him in here?
We can't do like Naked Nutcracker or anything.
We could.
I'm trying to figure out which one is going to be the... Okay, it's either a corn dog or a cross-dresser in each one of your performances. Which
I'm the cross-dresser.
Oh. Oh.
There's no cross-dresser in this one. That was the first show.
Wait a second.
What?
Well, you said it was set in the 1950s, right?
So you're a cross-dresser because you're wearing pants.
That's right.
So you're talking lesbian in the show.
Okay.
So all the people at Chances should be so happy.
Okay, as long as somebody's happy.
As you can tell, I find common themes in their performances.
It's not very much common in this one.
What?
What? Okay, so you've got two performances down, right?
Three.
Yes.
Three?
Three. Three. Oh, yeah.
Friday matinee.
Oh.
And Friday evening.
We're counting that one?
Yeah. Yeah, it was an audience.
I wasn't counting that. I was counting it.
Well, it put money in the bank. It counts.
Didn't put money in my pocket.
You're not the bank.
You can speak to Mama about that, and I bet you she'll set you straight.
Yes.
Well, I've met him, but... Oh, yeah, this mic's on.
I'm going to pull up Zach. For reservation, 832-582-7606.
I'm sorry, I couldn't translate that. What was that?
Would you please gain some focus?
Oh... Saved by the beep. Okay,
you're not that saved.
Fair better check time. We don't have to start saying the other stuff.
We got a couple minutes.
Performances
yet.
Go on till December 20th. Mm-hmm. Wraps up just before the Christmas holiday. Fridays and Saturdays 8 p.m. Sundays at 3 p.m. at the Pasadena Town Square Mall. So you had performances Black Friday.
We had rehearsal Thanksgiving
night. I was going to say, I was watching him on Facebook where he was talking about having dinner and then turning around having rehearsals.
Yeah, we have it's become tradition at the theater to have because we always open our Christmas show, the day after Thanksgiving, so it's become a custom, I say, tradition. This is the second year we've done that.
What?
Where we have a rehearsal with the cast, and then the Christmas show cast gets together and have a Thanksgiving dinner together.
I'm just thinking about the fact of doing a performance during Black Friday in a mall.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Well, then again, there's no other stores open in the damn thing anyway, so...
No comment.
Actually, you'd be surprised. Per one of the radio stations, we were 87% capacity. I'm like, for what? A couple of Hoochie Mama stores and some shoes?
Well, there's Anna's, Lennon's, and Macy's.
They have pinatas there. Pinatas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, can't read about the pinatas.
Pinatas for Christmas. You have to get your pinata early at Pasadena Town Square Mall.
Hey. Well, then.
Jimmy likes pinatas.
With three of those, you get a t-shirt that I'd hit that.
Turkey pinata.
Oh, wow.
Oh, boy.
Santa I'll send you the pinata. Link where you can actually order that shirt with this picture of a pinata that says I'd hit that.
I need that.
Mistletoe pinata.
Okay, and for information, call 832-582-7606 or go to stagedoorinc.com. What's coming up next in line?
This show closes out our 2009 season. We are kicking off our 2010 season with Steel Magnolias. It auditions tomorrow at 7 and Monday at 7 at the theater. More information about that, it's on the website as well.
And your New Year's fundraiser?
Oh, yeah. New Year's. We are having a New Year's gala at the theater. If you like Trailer Park... You good?
Yeah, just real quick.
Okay. If you like Trailer Park Trash, it's definitely the place to be for New Year's Eve. The show's been written by myself and Gregory R. Brown, and it's going to be lots of cross-dressing, and it all is happening in the trailer park. So, if you like Beyonce's Single Ladies, come see it done by drag queens.
And some of them will be big drag queens, right?
No, man.
Oh, dear God. I may need to borrow my dress again.
Oh,
had you seen the picture?
No.
Look on our face. Go to the Facebook page for After Hours. Look at the click on the thing for Nothing On But The Radio. You see the birth of Christy Sotheby.
Oh, boy.
Wow. Yep.
So, we got to step out right now and do the PSAs and the top of the hour. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on KPFT Houston.
Es otro día caluroso. Imagínese estar encerrado en el interior de un vehículo. La temperatura asciende rápidamente. Ahora imagínese que lleva un abrigo de piel. Dejar a su perrito en el interior de un vehículo en un día caluroso es peligroso. Si para usted es caluroso, para su mascota es todavía peor, ya que ésta no puede transpirar para enfriarse y en pocos minutos la temperatura puede exceder los 100 grados aunque los vidrios de su vehículo estén abiertos un poco. Así que, por favor, en días calurosos, deje a su perrito en la seguridad de su hogar.
Para más información, favor de llamar a PETA al 757-622-PETA o visite petaenespañol.com. Gracias.
Did you know you can find KPFT on the social networking site MySpace and Facebook? You certainly can, and we'd love you to add us as a friend and get us connected with friends of yours. On Facebook, for example, you can connect to KPFT as a friend, join our fan page, and check out a special video message from General Manager Dwayne Bradley to Facebook users. On MySpace, KPFT provides event videos, updates, and a lot more. With both, you can link up with other KPFT listeners, get the latest news about the station, and find lots of extras. It's fun, so catch up with KPFT online. On MySpace, visit myspace.com/KPFT Houston. On Facebook, visit us at facebook.com/KPFT Houston. This is commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio 90.1 KPFT Houston.
Hello? Ah, there we go. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude. You heard it as I say, listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacific Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can find archives of the show there. Now broadcasting in high definition. Right now it's the EPC if you have one of those fancy radios.
Can I say one thing real quick?
You just did. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. No, I got some friends listening in Seattle. Maybe I just wanted to give them a shout out.
All right, go ahead.
Be like, hey, friends in Seattle.
That was it.
Well, I mean,
that's it. He's done.
It's like 11:30 over there. I don't want to be too loud. You know,
they're drinking coffee over there.
They live in a dorm. I don't want them to.
They're in Seattle. You know. They're taking coffee intravenously. They never sleep.
And they're very suicidal. I don't want to disturb them.
But yet you have them listening to the radio.
And yes. Listen to this show. God.
I forced them to.
There's better things on the internet. It's called pornography. wrapping up here, we got Stage Door Inc. Once again, Fridays and Saturdays, 8 p.m., Sundays, 3 p.m. until December 20th. StageDoorInc.com. And about more information about that and the New Year's special and Steel Magnolias. Coming to the Pasadena Square Mall.
Yep.
That's kind of scary.
Why?
Don't know. Just seems scary.
It won't be.
We have a gate. We keep most of the mall out. So we're pretty safe.
I thought you said we had a gate. We keep most of the mall out.
We have one gate.
If we did, wow, that
That's
is...
Like, guess what he said.
That would be a record. Wow. If we only had one in that theater.
I don't think we have one blind guy and I think one straight guy that hangs around a lot. Everybody else is pretty much
yes, the token
family.
Yeah. Either that or ready to be corrupted over to family.
Well,
we're trying, damn it. We need the toaster ovens.
We tried to protect them.
They'll be selling the toaster ovens we get from converting people over as the next fundraiser.
You get a toaster already.
Man, those things don't work. Don't worry about it.
You have to be a real. You have to be an old homosexual to understand that one. That goes back to Ellen coming out. Anything else?
Depressed.
Okay. Hey, Wes. Do we have a Hispanic Christmas carol we can play now? Because yeah,
no.
we've gone through chickens. We had a Hispanic PSA.
No, I want to hear a Hanukkah carol.
Jingle bells.
No, but I don't want to bring up a lesbian. Well, a so-called lesbian.
No Hanukkah carols.
We'll play them later. We have to. Jimmy's partner's Jewish, so we do play some hot.
Oh, Tannenbaum, my heart and soul.
I've already got music lined up.
Yeah, listen later. We'll find some. I actually do. One of the few times we'll play chorale music is when we play a little bit of Hanukkah every once in a while.
Yeah,
I know the perfect crossover. We'll do a one that goes for both Jewish and Christmas.
Jesus?
No. Jesus was a dreidel spinner.
I'm sure he was.
He was a carpenter.
But no, that
at
was,
any rate.
That's an actual Christmas song we play here.
I've never heard it.
By Jill Sobel.
But we or just Sobel. Call it Chrismica.
Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Kwanzaa.
Yeah, well, we don't put that one in there.
Well, it's a KPFT. We have to.
Well, because, so you know, it started just like 20 years ago. So.
Yeah. Well, it's got to start somewhere, yeah.
Are you done now? Are you done?
Take us away, Wes.
All right, then.
Even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long road back, I promise you that I'll be home for Christmas. You can count on me. We'll have snow and mistletoe and presents neath the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where Christmas, if only in my dreams.
Okay. Well, it's that time of the month. And not in that way, but... So, this is the Everything Else show. And as I've said before, my premise on starting this show was that all the mainstream topics in gay, you know, culture, whatever, are very well covered by everything else on this station. So I thought, yeah, what about everything else? Because I used to drive around listening to the show and go, why didn't they say that? Why didn't they bring up this? And so I finally met Jimmy. He said, well, come on and say that. So it kind of has finally evolved into everything else. And tonight, my guest is an activist, a political activist. And while he is a gay man, he also has interests besides just issues and things that concern the gay GLBT community. And that's really exactly what I was looking for. And his name is Alvaro. And one of the points of interest is that he works at a place, or he's a volunteer at a bookstore called Sedition, and it's an anarchist bookstore. And I think nowadays there's very little understanding of what anarchism really even means. But before we get into that, why don't you tell us some stuff? I mean, introduce yourself. Let us know a little bit about, you know, the other stuff you do and, you know, just general stuff like that.
Well, I'm Alvaro, like he said. I've been working at Sedition for about 3 years. I work with SDS at U of H, the Students for a Democratic Society, and I'm with ARA, which is the Anti-Racist Action. And that's what I do as far as politics go.
And then you were talking about how you're very community involved in terms of, like you were saying, you referee soccer. Is that with kids?
No, it's actually adults. It's an adult league.
Oh, no, that must provide some nice eye candy as well as everything
you'd
else.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and then you teach computer.
Yeah, I give computer classes at the Houston Public Library. It's for adults, mostly adults.
Wonderful. Because people my age generally have a hard time getting their minds around some of the stuff.
Yeah, it's surprising. A lot of people, the first couple times I went there, a lot of people didn't even know what the mouse was.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's really, really surprising. I mean, of course, we know how to use a computer very well, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't even know how to turn it on.
Well, I don't. Speak for yourself on that one, yeah. Okay, well, why don't you explain a little bit to us about what anarchism is, mm-hmm. and how it works in a sense, because it sounds like it would just be, I know a lot of people hear the word anarchy and they think utter and complete chaos.
Well, and then a lot of people have no idea.
No idea, exactly.
You know, it's anarchy, it's just something out in the fringe, and it's something that European nations do.
Exactly, and it's dangerous.
Yeah.
And it's hence sedition. So, enlighten us. I mean, or give us a more... Inform us, yeah.
Well, anarchism is self-organizing. It's grassroots organizing. We believe that everyone is capable of making decisions for ourselves. We don't need anyone to tell us how to run our lives, how to run our businesses, how to do stuff, or what to do even.
Mm-hmm.
And that's anarchism is, like I said, self-organizing. It's...
Okay, a lot of people would hear that and say, well, nothing would ever get done.
Actually, it sounds very liberal.
It sounds wonderful to me.
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's kind of the way I've grown up, the way I feel about people is that people, and I know it's pie in the sky, but mm-hmm. I just feel if people are left to their own devices, they're going to do well, and mm-hmm. they're going to be prosperous, and they're going to work hard, and
mm-hmm.
and they're not going to hurt anybody else.
Especially if they're all benefiting from what accumulates from all their work.
Yes.
So there has to be some kind of organization. So what how do anarchists organize things?
We organize horizontally. That means there's no bosses.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone has equal say, and our votes are count the same. At Sedition, for example, we are collectively owned and operated.
Mm-hmm.
That means that all collective members are usually present in every important decision we take, and we each have a vote. And we don't do something without the collective process, without the collective thinking and talking about it and deciding what we do.
Okay, so to be the devil's advocate with a small group, that sounds very workable.
Yeah.
Now, as you get more and more people and you think about millions of people in a country and much less the world and all that kind of stuff, how does that progress as there are more and more people and more and more territory, more country to cover like that?
Well, it goes back to being self-governing.
Mm-hmm.
Each section, community, a group of people, we come together because we have something in common.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I envision it, of course, anarchism isn't set in stone.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, it fluctuates, it flows. So the way I see it in an anarchistic society, there's going to be groups of communist people who organize together. There's going to be conservatives that organize together. But it goes back to being allowed to organize how you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so of course, all the anarchists are going to band together and work our way, govern ourselves, and we let other communities govern themselves.
Okay, you but know, what if there's a really intense agreement in an area where people have to work with each other? How's the idea of resolution of conflict when that arises?
Through dialogue or... for example, anarchists and fascists are mortal enemies.
Right.
You know, so there's sometimes when things get aggressive, we do believe in defending ourselves.
Yeah, because I've always thought that anarchism allows choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So some people have the kind of mindset where they're going to choose fascism.
Mm-hmm.
And that was part of the challenge of an anarchistic organization, was that there would be a fascistic element that would try to take over that and turn it into something else. And that has always been fascinating to me. And the real challenge of that kind of organization is there are people who are generally want to take over things. So have you seen that happen?
Well, not really at Sedition or any other places that I've been, because most of the people are like-minded.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, in ARA, the Anti-Racist Action, what we do is we're cousins to the AFA, the Anti-Fascist Action.
Mm-hmm.
And one of our four points of unity is we don't let them have the streets, them talking about fascists.
Right.
So wherever they go, we go. It's this mentality or this idea.
So what is everywhere they go, we go? What does that mean? Or whatever you said.
Yeah, wherever they go, we go. Wherever the fascists are, the ARA or
shows up to balance
it out. Yeah, exactly.
Ah,
exactly.
Good,
we don't give this false idea that they're gaining ground.
Right.
We've actually stopped them from presenting a couple times.
Wonderful.
And it's this idea of no tolerance towards intolerance. You know, you're not going to let me be the way I am.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you have any power.
Right.
You know, it's their whole philosophy is one of hate.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to live the way I want to live. You're not going to let me, then, I mean.
Okay, since this is after hours, my next logical question is that I think historically we can look and see that a lot of left-wing or communist or, like that kind of nations and organizations have been, some of them have been very, very homophobic.
Mm-hmm.
And from personal experience, stories or whatever, of or just generally, how does your being a gay man work in the organization in terms of your experience? Is it comfortable? What have you run into?
Well, At Sedition, I feel fully comfortable. It's a very open and accepting place. It's very, very loving people. They're a very loving community.
Mm-hmm.
And we're very open to all types of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at actually, at the collective, there's four LGBTQ members there. So, I mean, it's definitely, and everyone there is ally. You know, the hetero people there are allies.
And ally, and is that an you know, each letter means something or just ally?
No, just allies.
Just allies.
Yeah, on our side. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But definitely, it's, first of all, being an anarchist, you're going to throw something or like wreak havoc and all that stuff. But then, being a gay anarchist, it's like, how does that work out? You don't look like a gay guy, you know. It's I like to I don't know. It's I feel
and
sometimes.
And what does a gay guy look like?
That's exactly what I always say.
Yeah. Yeah, like Jimmy. Jimmy was just like doing a lovely little fairy dance in the other room. Thank you, Jimmy. Yes, yes, definitely.
It's these stereotypes that. At least with me, it's
and
been more
you
present.
Know, and I, it's fine. You can be the biggest cliche in the world because it's really you.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as I'm concerned, in terms of my feelings about anarchist feelings, is yeah, go ahead and do that.
Go for it. Yeah,
go do that. You know, and surprise yourself. I think one of the things that makes life interesting is if you can surprise yourself occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in a situation where everybody's making their choices, people can surprise each other and surprise themselves in terms of what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
Has there ever been an actual anarchist government in terms of like a country or a city or whatever, a community that was, you know,
There,
yeah.
Well, first of all, the whole anarchist government thing is kind of an oxymoron, a contradiction, because anarchists fight against all hegemonies, you know, be it physical, fiscal, and ideas.
Right, right.
But as far as being there have been. The biggest one, the one most anarchists fantasize about is Spain, Catalonia.
Right, yes,
and,
yes. That's right. That was actual... You know, anarchist rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And in Mexico right now.
Well, how did that work out?
Not well.
Well, the fascist?
Yeah, the fascist, the authoritarian communists,
mm-hmm.
and just things not working out.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, in retrospect, it's easy to see where
it's,
they...
It's such a beautiful idea, but, I mean, there's just all of this. Like, okay, you were talking about we don't believe in all of that
mm-hmm.
stuff. That you said, but what if all of a sudden everybody listening and it tells everybody else and everybody all over goes, wow, I think I'm going to do that.
That'd be awesome.
I believe in that. So there would need to be some way of getting food to people and there would need to be, I mean, if everybody really believed it, would there really need to be no laws or you know, because there are people that are going to have problems with it,
yeah,
not being aggressive.
There's always problems. Yeah, there's always problems.
So
I mean, whenever I get this question, usually they ask about, well, what about murders, you know?
Right.
And
well,
exactly.
I'm being the devil's advocate a little bit because, you know, that people are very cynical about stuff like this.
Would you kill someone? That's the thing. Like, the vast majority of people.
I can't say I wouldn't, but no, I won't.
Mm-hmm.
I won't. But I can imagine killing someone.
Oh yeah, but it's once again, whenever you're working with people that you know and like,
mm-hmm.
and something happens to someone, like your friend is being beat up, you're not going to stay there.
Okay.
You know
what about people that are mentally ill and cannot control themselves?
I don't know. I guess it's up to the community they're in. I really don't know. You know, it's since we haven't had any historical. Actual,
right.
It's still up.
I mean, just to let you know, I think that if people were free to make their own choices, and were in that kind of supportive environment, there might be less societal mental illness and less anger. In terms of that makes people do vengeful things and all of that kind of stuff. So I do think that
it's healthy.
Anarchism would definitely solve some of the anger problems that people have in terms of how they act out against all kinds of in all kinds of situations.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's ultimately just healthier. It empowers you. A lot of times, I've seen and think, a lot of times it's this lack of power that makes us act in a stupid way, you know? And anarchism empowers you. You're doing stuff for yourself and for others as opposed to letting other people do stuff. Instead of writing a letter to a congressman, you're actually fixing the yard next door that you want them to fix.
Exactly.
So it goes back to being empowered and feeling important.
And kind of noticing what's going on around you in terms of seeing what needs to be done. And not so much dog against dog. Dog eat dog. And we were talking earlier about, you know, you were talking about your involvement with the SDA. And that's been around for quite a while now. And they did some really crazy violent things in the 60s and 70s. But I was saying that they put out this incredible pamphlet that was very easy to read called Prairie Fire. And it was one of the first easy to get and easy to understand documents I read about why we have so much prosperity, why we can live such luxurious lives. And it really gave you facts and figures about how things happen in the world, who's starving, who's not, how things are distributed. And I know as a young man, it was very eye-opening for me. I had no idea of this stuff. And I always thought it was one of the, with the mistakes that they made, and I think they've evolved through the years because they were also very patriarchal at the beginning, that was one of the single great things they did that really did spread like prairie fire. And anyway, you were saying that y'all were passing out stuff today?
No, yesterday.
And where did y'all do that?
The Galleria, as a thing against Black Friday, against this whole consumerist mentality. Because Black Friday is the day when most sales are made in
that's
the U.S.
That's right. A good idea for an action, yeah. Anyway, and he was showing me the it's a two-sided page. And I said, well, great, read it on the air. And it's two pages. It's not too thickly printed, so it'll take a few minutes if y'all can be patient. Thank you. I'm going to have him read this information on the air. It's very eye-opening, very powerful. And again, this show is not always specifically about gay issues, but it's about the fact that gay people are definitely part of the big picture. And we lead consumer lives. We lead, we're affected by a lot more than just gay issues. So I want to, you know, bring a little, you know, how gay people can connect to all sorts of things. So anyway, if you would read that, please.
Yeah, one that really struck me was that life expectancy in Zimbabwe is 31 years right now. In 1970, it was 56.
Right.
And
that's obviously age related.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there we are, you know, right there. It's all part of the big picture.
Another one about that is 2.3 million people died of AIDS in 2004.
Right.
And there's 25.4 million were HIV positive. The amount of money spent on pet food in the U.S. and Europe each year equals to the amount needed to provide the basic food and health care for all the people who lack it. And that's according to the United Nations Development Report.
Right.
So, I mean, the facts here aren't just things made up.
Yeah, and we love our pets, but humans need to eat,
not
too.
Not that much, yeah.
Yeah, humans need to eat, too. And probably, yeah.
Or another one is 80% of the world's industrial output is controlled by 1,000 corporations.
Yeah.
And that's a huge monopoly, going back to this hegemony that we're trying to fight against. And here's one that I thought was cynically funny. It was while the CIO of Halliburton, Dick Cheney, in 2002, he made $24 million business with Saddam Hussein.
Yeah. It is shocking, and a lot of people don't know that. I personally was aware of that, but it is, you know, it's largely unknown.
Here's a better one, I guess.
Okay.
The three richest people in the world have assets that exceed the combined gross domestic product of the 48 least developed countries.
Sure.
And that's according to the, once again, the UN Development Report in 1999.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just that, you know, I think there's been a lot of, you know, with the financial meltdown we're going through right now, there was a good couple of decades where the whole idea of too much was just out the window. I mean, the idea that in America, we really lost all focus in terms of that there could be too much wealth. Mm-hmm. That you know, get real, people. At some point, you've got enough.
You don't need seven cars.
Or whatever. Well, if you want seven cars, I can even go that far. But, I mean, if you're worth more than the gross national product of a developing nation. I think maybe that might qualify as more than enough.
You think so?
I think.
And
I know that a lot of people don't like to hear or think about this stuff because it's confusing.
It's hard.
It's confusing
hard.
And it's challenging.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Here's another one in Sweden, mm-hmm. 29,800 women die while giving birth, mm. while in Niger, 1 in 7.
Wow.
And that's childbirth. Mm-hmm. You know, people just think baby pops out, you're good.
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, you know, you often hear on the news or whatever, a child's not supposed to die before their parent. And I think that's like a pathological statement. Mm-hmm. It's just patently insane. There is, you know, there's no order in which people are supposed to die. And if you read history at all, it was so common for women to lose lots of children.
Mm-hmm. And that's why they had so many.
Lots of children. That's why they had so many. They would die in childbirth. So we've really gotten way out of touch with a lot of reality that other countries really, you know,
Are living.
It's everyday life still in terms of not being a developed country.
Oh, you read know. Some more. I'm loving
yeah.
this.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. In the daily deaths around the world, 24,000 people die from hunger.
Mm-hmm.
5,000 children die from diarrhea per day.
Right. Well, and I saw a thing, too, that there's this new food that's made of peanut butter. It's like two or three elements, and it's kind of a paste. And it has all the protein, all the nutrients, all the vitamins, and they take it to these countries where children are starving and dying right before your eyes. And they have found over and over again that if they start giving them that as the food they eat, and it's easy to ship, it doesn't spoil, they get better. They don't die.
Mm-hmm.
So these things have solutions.
Definitely.
You
it's
know.
Just a matter of wanting to help.
Yeah.
Continuing on that list, each day, 2,700 children die from measles.
Hmm.
1,400 women die in childbirth. 550 children die from wars.
Right. And sometimes they're brainwashed and recruited as the soldiers, which is really sad.
Yeah.
A lot of sexual violence as well.
And the last one, we think of water. We flush the toilet 27 times a day, wash our hands. Water runs everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But 201 kids die of drought.
Yeah.
Each day.
Yep.
And that's a lot of people. You know, there's 365 days a year.
Yeah.
So those numbers times that, that's a lot of people from stuff that.
I think that's one of the main things we take for granted is water. Mm-hmm. And especially with a lot of the pollution that's going on in the oceans and rivers and everything, people are getting more conscious about that. But, you know, I'm sorry, you can't live if there's no water to drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's just real simple.
Yeah.
I'm going to read a short poem to kind of discuss something else with you. Okay. In every generation, in every age, there have been people who have thought they would save the world. And though some of them have in some way, none of them have completely. That's not to say we shouldn't keep trying, but it seems to me that one sure way to repeat the mistakes of the past is to assume from the start that you're automatically going to get right what everybody else got wrong, simply because you want to, simply because of what you know. Every generation's level of sincerity rivals or equals all the others. Although in hindsight, it seems hard to believe they did not see what can be seen now, what you can see now. Just as it's hard to believe some fundamental things which will get in the way of what you want to achieve in saving the world. So go ahead, use everything you've got to save the world, but please remember to save it from yourself as well. And the topic I wanted to bring up with that is that one thing it seems that I've seen some really sincere revolutionaries, or not even revolutionaries, but people who want to bring around a better world. Mm-hmm. And they're so obsessed with their political ideas, they're so obsessed with doing that, that they never work on their personal stuff. Mm-hmm. They put it aside. It's a way of avoiding their working on their basic sanity. And then when they get power, they're kind of crazy. And they kind of turn into just, like, scary people who, like, create famine for political, supposedly good political reasons and all that kind of stuff. I think there really is this thing of that people can get so blinded, so obsessed with politics, they forget about your humanity. Care to add anything? I mean,
To me, I think it all has to do with power, you know?
Okay.
This hunger for power.
Right.
And
yes.
We, unfortunately, are made to feel that we can't have any power.
Right. You know, especially gay people.
Mm-hmm.
Especially gay people.
Exactly.
And it does seem... Yeah. Go ahead.
And this fascination with power, with something we supposedly can't have, leads people to commit absurdities, like mm-hmm. you were saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that if we manage to feel the empowerment of actually doing something,
exactly,
then this big idea, this fluffy idea that we have that power is, we want more and more and more and more, then it's not going to be there. You know, I mean, of course, there's going to be people that always want more.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, it seems to me that's part of the collective idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the good things about it, because you have to communicate with people.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's getting a little loopy in this way or the other, or they have some kind of big psychological thing, maybe there's a loving way where people can say, you know, you need to really work on that.
Mm-hmm.
If it's human-based and not just about political power. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. The seeing people as people,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to commodities, as opposed to a means, as opposed to an end.
Mm. Especially the last.
Because mm-hmm.
I think that's one of the appealing things about anarchism.
Yeah, we see people and accept people for who we and they are. You know, we don't judge you because you smell bad or because you slept with so and so or like doing this and that. We're just different people.
Yeah, and it's like, what can you do?
Mm-hmm.
What are your talents? What are you good at? Oh, well, we can use somebody who can do that.
Mm-hmm.
What else can you do? Because that slot's not open right now. Things like that, I think, you know, rather than the cookie cutter kind of, make everybody, you know.
Definitely. And I see that in this... in the Democrat versus Republican thing, a lot of people believe certain things, I think, because they have to meet up the standards of being a Republican or meet with the standards of what it is to be a Democrat.
And they have to answer up to all their crazy constituents mm-hmm. who have all these, both on both sides of the, you know, both parties have crazy ideas
mm-hmm.
about, that just don't have any foundation in reality, and they have to make sure all those people stay happy. Plus, you know, plus the wealth thing, too.
That's always there.
So, okay, you're on the air. And there's some people out there listening. What would, you know, what would you like to communicate? You know, I mean, you've already said a lot, obviously, but I mean, is there something that it, you know?
I don't know. Just I guess to question things. Don't believe things just because someone or you read it on the internet, Wikipedia mm-hmm. says so, mm-hmm. stuff like that. I think definitely through education and through reading what people, where people failed, what they did mm-hmm. well.
Learn from history.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, learn from history is really important.
And a lot of times people, it's not that people are apathetic, it's just that they're unaware. Mm-hmm. You know? It's
well, a lot of people, like I was watching a documentary on Père Lachaise cemetery mm-hmm. in Paris with my younger brother, and they had a big mass grave for the commune, the communards, mm-hmm. During the 1850s, 1860s. And I know about it because I love Rambo, and he was there during while that, all that was going on. And my brother said, well, who's the communards? And I gave him a little bit of a thing on it. But it's amazing to me how nobody really knows about the communards too much. You know, and they almost took over Paris mm-hmm. and had a very collective idea, similar idea to anarchists about yeah. how all that could, you know, and... You can, there are definitely, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, but there are mistakes they made that caused things to collapse, mm-hmm. you know, but they seized a situation during the wartime, during that war with Prussia to, you know, everybody starving. Okay, this is a good time to sort of see if we can't do something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So definitely learning from other people's mistakes and our own mistakes even. Mm-hmm. The people who made those mistakes are still people.
Absolutely.
As are we, you know, and mm-hmm. we make mistakes. Just bettering ourselves, trying to be better people.
Again, there's your history as a gay man, mm-hmm. your history as an anarchist. How did all that evolve? I mean, you seem very comfortable.
How did I become gay?
Well, you seem very comfortable with your sexuality, mm-hmm. you know, and you're Hispanic.
Mm-hmm.
There probably maybe some Catholicism in your background?
Oh, I went to Catholic school for 7 years.
Yeah. Okay, so how does one be a Hispanic Catholic man with all of the guilt that sometimes that culture can just totally... you know, mm-hmm. brainwash you with. So how did you come out of that culture and be so beautifully comfortable with yourself and have these really lovely political ideas too? Well, and you're living them, and you're actually living...
We're trying to.
You're living your ideals much as you can.
It wasn't easy. I mean, like you were saying, raised Catholic and this whole, oh, you're going to go to hell, you can't mm-hmm. do this, you can't do that. And honestly... In high school, in middle school, I was picked on, of course.
Yeah. And we all had our dose.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. And in high school, just my close friends knew, mm-hmm. you know, I would have gotten expelled.
And what year were you in high school?
I graduated in 2007.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I went to a private school here in Houston, and I would have gotten expelled. It's just what they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so just my friends knew.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think sedition definitely helped this whole open environment of just be who you are. Don't
So working there has really helped you evolve.
Yeah, being just not even working there, just being there. I made a lot of friendships there,
mm-hmm.
and they're very good people.
Now it's a bookstore, but they also have classes there too, don't they?
It's an open space.
I think Nick, our mutual friend Nick Cooper, who's in the Free Radicals, which is a wonderful fusion jazz band, he was saying there was workshops. Actually, yeah. He would run workshops there. Does that happen now and then?
Yeah, like it's an open space. I like to say it's a public park without the grass.
Wonderful.
You know, it's
wonderful.
We have.
So you can probably drop by and get into like a good conversation.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. We have coffee if you like coffee, and mm-hmm. we have drinks. Just come hang out, read. We have a lot of events. We have movies. We have dinner and movies. We have
wow.
speakers. We have shows there. So it's not just a bookstore, it's a hangout spot.
Well, Nick has been inviting me. So I think this is going to push me over the edge, and I will. And where is it?
It's Richmond by Montrose, where what the Proletariat used to be.
Yeah.
It's in that same building.
Yeah. Wonderful. Wonderful.
We're a big purple building on Richmond. You can't miss us.
Well, you know, one thing I think is interesting that I've been thinking about lately with all this Woodstock revival, you know, anniversary stuff, is that, you know, there's kind of the Stonewall thing, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of drag people say, well, we were there.
Mm-hmm.
We're part of it. And now all these, you know, these more conservative assimilationist people don't want.
Yeah.
We embarrass them.
Of course.
Well, I think there's another aspect of that because, you know, I was, all that affected me strongly. And, you know, I was in my 20s in the early 70s. And there was, I mean, radical politics and liberal politics and the whole idea of change, it was so part and parcel with the gay movement and the women's movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of the assimilationists now really are embarrassed by that. They really don't want to admit that a lot of very progressive political actions that happened at that time in the late 70s, early 70s were completely like dominoes. I mean, it was very much interrelated that it all. I am convinced to a certain extent that without the radical politics, there wouldn't have been any gay liberation.
Of course not. Of course not. Even if we look at something as simple as the 8-hour workday, it was partly the anarchists that fought for the unions. Gave us the 8-hour workday. If it weren't for that, mm-hmm. that radical, that standing up for yourself,
mm-hmm.
we wouldn't have that. We'd be working 12, 14 hours every day. Mm-hmm. So definitely this whole standing up and showing that we're not going to just be pushed around. And I don't know. I'm going to be assimilationists. I think are just stupid. I mean,
you are. I brought you on here. I said I wasn't going to agree with everything you said, but I certainly brought you on here to, you know, because people voice their opinions on this show. And so, yeah, go ahead.
It's we're not the same. We're different. You know, mm-hmm. we are. Each individual is different, and this whole idea of trying so desperately hard to be just like everyone else.
Yes,
you know it.
Be somewhat separatist mm-hmm. too.
Yeah,
you know, I in trying to find other people for this show in terms of everything else, I was talking to Nick, and we were both talking about how it's a shame that still in this day and age in Houston, how segregated the gay and straight communities mm-hmm. are to a large extent. I mean, everybody knows everybody else, but in terms of socially, it's still pretty separated. And it's not like that in every city, you know, and I love Houston. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I didn't quite realize that until, you know, I was looking for people to be on the show.
Yeah.
And like I said, I think a lot of the assimilationist people, that had there not been the radical politics of the 70s and this real wave of change, we would still have the kind of society where they'd probably be married and in the closet.
Yeah.
To be honest, and nothing against them. I'm so glad that people are comfortable to come out. But part of that comfort came from people insisting on radical change
exactly.
and not taking no for an
exactly.
answer.
Yeah.
And still with the marriage issue, that's still, you know, just not accepting no as an answer.
Yeah. Well, I'm of the thought that we shouldn't be fighting to get married. We should be fighting with the hetero people to liberate them from marriage.
Well, you know, we have a lot of people around here who believe that same thing. And it's like, you know, to tell the truth, when part of the great thing about just getting comfortable with being gay was like, oh, boy, I don't have to think about marriage now. You know, and it's wonderful. I mean, if people want to make a commitment, great.
You don't need to get married to love someone.
No.
I mean.
But you can. You can.
You definitely can. You don't have to.
I think the problem is when you separate yourself from the rest of the world in a relationship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it can turn into this little, and then somebody dies. And then, you know, if you, two of you are the whole world, and you're sort of blinking, bland, you know, not paying attention to anything else but that little relationship, doesn't always have a happy ending.
Yeah, it can suck sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm sort of stuck here for a second. Okay, you were talking about the racist activity group you're connected to. Now, what, again, how does being gay work in all of that?
Well, it's...
Is it just a separate issue?
No, not at all. We definitely fight for LGBTQ rights. We fight for women's rights as well.
So that's part of the platform?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And, mind you, there's a... sections in not every city, but each faction has its own mentality, its own, I guess, way of being, but we do have the 4 points of unity.
What, and those are?
I don't know all of them.
Pop quiz.
One of them's we go wherever they go. We don't rely on the law to do our job. You know, I mean, of course, if we're getting sued, then we're not gonna not hire a lawyer.
Right.
But we don't call the cops to fix our problems because we believe that they're part of the problem.
Right.
You know, we fight for women's rights, women's reproductive rights, and that, at least here in Houston, ties in with we added the LGBTQ rights.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. A lot of people feel that racism is a problem in the gay community, and it's through the whole society. So, of course, it would be. So how do you fight racism? How do you wake people up to see that they don't have to be that way? I mean, so in terms of if this is a political group and that's their aim, how do you do that?
We're not really a political group. Like I was saying, we're a reactionary group.
Okay.
Right?
At least in Houston,
in Houston, right? We serve as buffers. We are going back to a racist thing for the 287G thing, which allows the cops to arrest people because they think that they might be undocumented workers.
Okay.
That's not the whole thing, but that's...
Sure.
Yeah. And... we were invited to go to the march there because they were afraid that the border watch and the patriotic groups. Mm-hmm. They don't like the term white supremacists, but the patriotic groups might try to start something with undocumented people in order to get them arrested.
Mm-hmm.
So we were invited to go there as a buffer.
Mm-hmm.
That what that means is we distract the white supremacists so they don't mess with other people.
Mm-hmm.
So we, in Houston, once again, each faction works differently.
Mm-hmm.
And in Houston, stuff like that, we get invited to stuff, or we don't organize stuff. We are there to usually serve as a buffer or to not let boneheads, Nazis, have this false idea that they're gaining ground.
Right.
You know, so it's... I forgot what I was saying.
Well, you were talking about being a buffer and, you know, the whole what...
About how not to be racist.
How to not be racist and the whole thing of how to function as a reactionary unit.
It's mostly with our anti-racist actions. Mm-hmm. We were there, for example, two years ago, we would go up to Spring because Border Watch, Minutemen... all those people were harassing day laborers.
So you're almost energetically neutralizing the space, too.
Trying to.
And physically as well. I mean, by just bodies, but also atmospherically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all this hate that they send towards people.
Mm-hmm.
And we're there in solidarity with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good feeling to, for example, going back to the 287G thing,
there were this lady from that worked in Subway brought us sandwiches and coffee for free because we were defending her, you know, what she believed was right and what we believe is right. And this whole solidarity thing.
And the fact that she's probably not a radical.
Mm-hmm.
Probably doesn't think of herself as radical. She just...
She saw that we were against
She understands... She recognizes ignorance when in action when she sees it. Yeah. And she understands that you guys are doing something to neutralize it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's... sometimes... We don't base solely on physical actions.
Mm-hmm.
We bring out flyers. We print out literature.
Mm-hmm.
There's Turning the Tide. It's a national newspaper.
Mm-hmm.
But we're also not afraid of putting our foot on the ground and saying that that's not going to fly.
Putting your body on the line.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like
and
walk the talk, as it were.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you know, one thing that I find interesting in terms of what you've been talking about... One of the interesting things about that is that I noticed that a lot of the different organizations you've been talking about, that they overlap.
Mm-hmm.
And what that made me think in terms of your being a gay man and doing these things, and that there are other GLBT people that are involved with this stuff, that in terms of how you empower yourself, that... A lot of gay people have empowered themselves as gay people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the minute they step outside of something that's gay defined, or they step out of the gay community, unless they're, you know, at work or something, and maybe not even then, they can lose some empowerment pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily. You know, it's not true of everybody. But it seems to me that the more you empower yourself on and overlap with different action groups and different, you know, just different areas of life, not necessarily political, but the more you can be integrated, it just adds to your empowerment.
Definitely.
You know, because you're not standing alone even as a community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it solidarity. You know, it's nice having people from very different backgrounds and even ideas on life and stuff like that being right next to you, because we're fighting for the same thing.
That's
right. We're trying to achieve the same thing.
And I think a lot of people don't see that, you know, and that's why I think it's a good idea for people to be curious
mm-hmm.
about something outside of their own community, because it's all related. There's just no way around that.
Yeah. No, everything's intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything's intertwined. So. Yeah.
Well, I have another little poem. We're going to have a station ID in a minute, but I think I've got time to read another poem before we do that. And this, you know, it relates, but it's not exactly related. What would you say if you could say anything? What would you tell me if what you told me made all the difference in the world? How would you address me if how you address me would lift me up and awaken me from all my suffering? What are you saying, and why are you saying it? What are you saying, and why are you saying it? We are all still mourning something that was said to us that broke our hearts, that seems to go on and on. We are all wanting, dying, living to hear or hear again with the words that let us know that we are loved just the way we want to be, and in the way that dissolves all we fear about ourselves. We want to take back all the things we said that caused so much harm for a moment's personal game point and satisfaction, but we can't. But we can't. All the ghost voices, the full spectrum of proclamation of a moment's truth, have haunted the world down through the ages. What are you adding to the echo that will reverberate and come to fruition? What if we learned to see through ourselves and spoke from the heart with primal spontaneous sanity and wild precise generosity? What if humor was the result of our appreciation of the impossibility of the human condition, came from our delight with how and what is said? What if everything you heard, What if everything you said was heard and completely understood? What if everything you said was well worth listening to? What if there was a correspondence that follows from what you say to what you do? What if we had no need to communicate from our illusions and delusions, no need to hide behind what we say, came to terms with the honest truth, and realized it was each of us to speak that, up to each of us to speak that truth, and realized it was each to up, of, up to each of us to speak that truth? What if we went beyond our protective opinions and found we all share some common awakenings? That's a pretty anarchist yeah. poem, I
it
would
really
say.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah.
There are places you go to get the quick news.
You know the kind. Those three-line summaries of world issues and events.
The celebrity gossip. The intellectual junk food.
And then there's public radio.
You tune to KPFT each day because you need more than just the summary.
You need to hear the whole discussion to make informed decisions.
You need to understand the background, to understand the cultures, ideas, and history that touches our lives.
You want music from more than five corporations.
You need a choice. And that's why you tune to community radio, because you have to know more.
People like you support KPFT to keep us on the air.
So visit kpft.org today to become a member of this station.
This is listener-sponsored,
commercial-free,
Pacifica Radio,
KPFT, Houston.
Hello, this is KPFT's 90.1 Houston. And I'm Deloitte Parker, Executive Director of SHAPE Community Center. SHAPE, shaping history for the future. For over 33 years now, SHAPE has shaped history by actively working with issues important to all of us. The freeing of Nelson Mandela. The freeing of Clarence Brantley, death row inmate. The conviction and firing of the officers that killed Otto Delaney and Byron Gillam. Voter mobilization, anti-death penalty, police brutality cases, nutrition programs, legal clinics, cultural programs. All of these programs working to make life better for all of us today for tomorrow. For more information about SHAPE, call 713-521-0629. SHAPE Community Center, 713-521-0629. Thank you.
You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast. KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
Okay, and looks like we're going to wrap up. And I want to thank you very much for your idealism. You know, somebody's got to do it. And I hope some of that communicated to the people, and I want to thank them for listening. Because, you know, in the way that everybody gets to have their own opinion, even if people feel like they need to be more realistic, there has to be somebody in our society holding the place of idealism. And no matter how ridiculous, no matter how unrealistic it might seem at times, what if there was no place, nobody in society, in our society that was holding, was the place marker for idealism, the same way in terms of when you do resist fascist action or you know, violent ignorance, you know, that you hold the place to show, no, that's not everybody feels that way. So I want to thank you for that, and thank you for coming on the show. And so we've got some stuff lined up for there's a gay friend of mine, who young man who is just about now starting a month-long meditation retreat at one of the Buddhist centers up in the Rocky Mountain. I'm not sure what I'm going to do in December, but in January, when he's fresh off of a month-long meditation, I'm going to have him and another person on to talk about Buddhism and the whole thing of gay people in Buddhism. So the whole idea of, you know, like I said, is just to try to, you know, really reinforce the idea that gay people are everywhere and have lots of different roles and interests in life, and we should all enjoy all of that wealth of beautiful gay men and what they do. So thank you very much for listening, and thanks again to KPFT for, you know, being here so that these kind of things can be said, where people can get stimulated, get laughs, get chills, thrills, and whatever. So anyway, thanks and good night.
I see you've been feeling down. When I need you, you've been around. So this year I've a Christmas surprise that will make your spirits rise. I think back on the times when you've always been there for me. Seemed unclear. You did the thinking for me. I owe you so much that it's hard to repay you for all the good times. And I won't forget you this year. It's Christmas time for my penis. I know have let you down when you just needed a hand. When I was uncertain, you showed me that I am a man. I owe you so much that it's hard to repay you for all the good times. And I'm going to give you the joy that dear pal, it's Christmas time for my penis. It's so hard to breathe. Don't fret this Christmas. You'll get the attention you need. I love you so much that it's hard to repay you for all the good times. We'll get whores and pornography, your special holiday, pal. It's Christmas time for my penis.
All right.
Queen.
Yep, that's who we played. Thank God it's Christmas. Speaking of Queen, we got a whole room full of them over there.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
No.
He's 20.
Berries and Queens and
is he?
Bags.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
Oh, that's right. He was also in Skins. That means there's half-naked pictures of him out there, too.
Chris found a... We found a really cute boy on the internet.
Oh, really?
Which here's Inner Priest going, Alleluia.
Which reminds me that I need to make my reservation for the movie. Oh, that's right. Ooh.
What a nice reminder.
Oh, yeah, he was Tony. There's definitely nude pics of him.
Chris's altar boy pass.
Altar boy pass, nothing. Eh? He was the priest.
Ha ha. My God, they're redoing Clash of the Titans as well.
Yeah.
Again?
Do you remember Clash of the Titans back when Harry Hamlin was still pretty?
And they had stop motion instead of stop CGI. Motion.
And they still had Ray Harryhausen's old gig,
yeah.
Stop motion for Dark.
But at any rate.
It seems to be what party's playing. Yeah.
God knows that was a very gay movie.
Yes.
So what do we got in the news tonight, Chris?
He looks cute.
Besides cute boys.
Well,
what's in the bag tonight?
I was wrong. Boy, things are awful different when you increase the photo size.
Ain't that the truth?
Oh, Lord.
Oh,
objects in a mirror.
Moving on.
Let's start cutesy with this. You know they have an app for that?
Yes.
An app for what?
The Gay Hanky Code iPhone app. It has been born.
Oh my! This is gonna hurt. Totally down.
More than you know.
The creators of a new Hanky Code iPhone app hope it'll revive the in-person cruising for younger gays who are used to hooking up via the net. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. There's already an app on there that tells you you download it, and it says that you're gay. Well, and so anyone else who has that same app can find out that there's another gay person in the room. Right?
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah, I've heard of that.
I didn't know about that one.
Yeah. I know about it.
I've heard about that. Are you surprised?
Not really.
No.
Matter of fact, this conversation came up earlier this evening.
So, the interesting thing is, the first article I have on this is from xtra.ca, Canadian website, where queers conspire. The picture they have on the iPhone is of a mustard yellow hanky, which, when worn on the right side, means you're looking for 8 inches plus. Choose a slightly brighter shade of yellow and you're a piss piggy.
I cannot comment on that.
The app also allows you to choose the color of the digital hanky from a list sorted alphabetically by color. You can choose whether to wear it on the left or the right, and a small text appears on the screen. Pink fuchsia worn on right? Well, you're looking to get spanked. Brown one on the left, well...
We know what that means.
What are you looking at me for?
You're Cab Calloway because you're a top cat in the scat field.
They like the Belgian chocolate.
Did you make that one up on the fly? Was that
kind of?
You go, boy.
If you're feeling particularly adventurous, you can also shake the iPhone to choose a hanky color at random.
Ooh. Ooh.
There's also a brief text of the history of the hanky code. The fact that Apple approved the app for sale is impressive in itself. Apple has been notoriously strict about sexual or gay-themed apps. Grindr. Grindr, a popular gay cruising app, enforces a no nudity policy. Apple does not approve apps that contain nudity. Okay, now this goes over to the other story I can pull up here. From Butt Magazine.
Well.
Interesting title.
Butt Magazine is, you're familiar with the After Hour show. This is the show that got Abercrombie and Fitch in trouble because they carry this magazine. On Butt Magazine, the app they show is a red hanky, which of course
reminds me of a Wet Spot song.
Yeah, well, basically it's whether you're Kermit the Frog or Jim Henson.
You need to cue that song up again.
The collective childhood.
Oh, man.
Okay, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Muppets, it's either Jeff Dunham or Peanut.
You're such an intelligent boy, you dance.
I like that one. Jeff Dunham or Peanut.
Wow.
I guess if it's a different shade of red, then it would be, what's the crotchety old guy? Puppet?
Walter.
Yeah.
Jimmy! Oh.
Jeff Dunham or Jimmy?
20 years after Keith Haring wrote in his journal that AIDS had marked the end of street pickups and 7 years after Manhunt began, cruising is making a comeback in New York. A new breed of young gays I spoke to last week are all learning about the look back, the stop, the double look back, and the approach all over again. On the heels of this news comes word that the hanky code, the popular 70s phenomenon where gay men placed one or more colorful handkerchiefs in their left or right back pockets to indicate sexual preference, has been having a resurgence on the West Coast. Now, Jonathan Leach and Carl Buchart, two entrepreneurs from California, have created an application for your iPhone that creates a virtual hanky that you can stick in your back pocket.
Lovely.
Wow. How interesting.
But see, I like carrying the hanky because I can use it for a restraint later.
It's funny, you know, because when usually when people do a look back on me, they're not looking to pick me up.
Well...
They're just looking.
You're lying.
They're looking to find out what the hell's going on with you.
They look back and go, "What the?" Anyhow.
Well, it's one of those things. I remember reading about this during my coming out process, where it was the triple look back. You look back the third time. That's when you know they're actually interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know, along with how you're supposed to stand and pose against a wall.
Wait, what?
I learned early on that the knot always works.
This is news to me.
Oh, here we are, Sean. They asked the creators of the app, do you have any memorable hanky experiences of your own to share? Oh, yes. My favorite story is about wearing hankies happened a few months after I moved to San Francisco. It was late on Sunday, and I was gathering my clothes so I could take them to the laundromat. Before I left, I noticed a pile of hankies in the corner of the closet that needed to be washed. I arrived at the laundromat, started doing my laundry, and I noticed a guy across from me playing an arcade game and made eye contact. This continued well into the drying cycle and had progressed to a level of repositioning our cocks. I had to think for a moment in order to offer small previews of size and length. By the time the buzzer on the dryer rang, we had already had our first conversation or well into a foxy game of touch and stroke. Time was against me, though, as his laundry was finished and I still had to fold and pack mine up.
What were they doing with their... Why were there birds there? Anyhow.
Knowing that if San Francisco is...
Yeah.
Knowing this, he kindly offered to help and drive me home so I didn't have to brave the climb back up my street. Opening the dryer, hankies of several colors and meanings flopped out and his eyes lit up. He asked which hanky was my favorite. I answered in all honesty that the brown lace one worn right would be my choice. He asked what it meant. I answered, uncut if worn left. Likes uncut if worn right. He told me he could help me out with that at any given time that he was Brazilian. The next thing I remember was opening the door to my apartment and showing him the way to my bedroom, where I proceeded to check out his claim and indeed pulled out some of the finest uncut specimens of the male penis I've ever seen. We walked around for a while as I walked him out and noticed that it just turned to 1:30 in the morning and my laundry had still not been completed. So now, there's an app for that.
Wow.
There's an app for everything.
You
now.
Can get
well,
the
come full circle. Entirely too many hankies in the hanky code at this point.
Well, you know,
that's why they have an app for it now.
The new Hanky Code iPhone app is available on iTunes or at hankycode.net. You know, I've always joked about that because of, you know, the two stories I have it as when I started coming down in the neighborhood. I used to use a bandana to, you know, wipe my face, blow my nose in, and all that.
Uh-huh.
So the cheap colors they had were red and blue. And so someone proceeded to warn me about what those colors meant. I said, well, after I looked at the hanky code, I said, yeah, I understand, but do you know how hard it is to blow your nose in a Cupid doll?
Oh, wow.
Which is what you would wear for Chicken Hawk or Chicken. And,
ew. Wow.
Now, my other story about that is the fact that being a large person, the hanky code color for Chubb and Chaser is apricot. And I have searched for apricot bandanas because when we did one of our events, I wanted to do that as a gift to everybody. You know, printed it with our fancy stuff, kind of like the denim party does. And I could not for the life of me find apricot hankies. But then again, you know, part of us realized that
If you need an apricot hanky hanging out of my left pocket to tell that I'm fat,
there's a problem.
I don't think you're going to see that.
You probably have another issue which won't make you see the...
I think the guest in our first segment would have had that problem. Segment two.
He was really cute.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
well, you know, I do know of one adorable place, but you'd have to go all the way to Washington, D.C. to get there.
I almost wasn't there.
I couldn't... there's that guy? Earlier somebody said to me, yeah, and he's blind, and I was like, no, really? I think the stick he was carrying, the white stick he was carrying, gave it away.
Yeah.
God.
I touched his stick.
Mm. I bet you did.
He was adorable.
For you gamers out there, a scene in a new video game, Dragon Age Origins, features a secret gay sex scene between a man and an elf. The new game, which has received high ratings, allows players to access scenes by using the correct combination of chat-up lines on warrior elf Zevron. Although developer BioWare has been criticized by many fans, GayGamer.net welcomed the scene, describing it as, quote, deliberate and respectful, unquote. The website said, quote, with this bare-chested and unflinching portrayal, it feels as if the depiction of gay sex in the video games has reached a new level of equal treatment. This is more than just a mincing gay pirate or evasive fade to black. There's choreography, tenderness, humor. There's even an element of sexual politics to Zevron's post-coital conversation. Kudos to BioWare for adding a bit of the gay storyline to their game and for dealing with gay romance as even-handedly as it does with heterosexual options, unquote.
Well,
ooh,
all I got to say about it, that is a roll of natural 20. I don't know what did.
There's even a two-minute video.
You can go to YouTube and
get a preview.
Let's see. Hot man on elf.
Wow.
Oh, it shows the dialogue boxes.
So is this what does this elf look like?
Pretty hot. I'm not sure which one's the elf.
The one on the right.
I guess he's a little short. The blonde elf?
The ears tell
you. Oh, okay.
Please, nearly all the elves in Lord of the Rings were blonde.
Those aren't elf ears. Those are handles.
Yeah,
they're not elves. They're Vulcans.
Just don't grab them, but just make sure you don't grab them by the
hand.
That could be sharp.
Oh,
here comes Sean running over here.
Double take.
Wow. Never seen you move that fast.
Did that stop the show right there?
He's already stopped the show once before.
Holy.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my.
The reverse cowgirl?
Okay, I don't know if that's shock or he's going boom into a diabetic coma there. I don't know.
Holy.
What game system do I need to go buy?
It's multi-platform.
This is hot.
Wow.
I don't suppose you can swivel that this far, do you?
No, not in the least bit.
There's a little bit of...
You two can stop drooling now.
It's a little bit of pectoral, then slightly into missionary.
You're going to...
And then that's definitely missionary.
That's missionary. There's the reverse cowgirl.
And there's a... That's missionary again. And then that's spooning.
Okay, spooning.
And then afterwards...
Walking past the fire area for Papa Merlin, because, you know, he is our expert on elves. Is this how elves will do it?
Hello. Oh, my.
Yeah, that's some serious elf action going on there. Yeah. Ooh, hello.
So, the video game is... I don't remember the video game name.
Dragon Age Origins.
And this is available on what game system again?
It's multi-platform. That's PC, Xbox 360, and PlayStation 3.
Thank you!
Wow.
So you can go to YouTube and...
get a preview.
One heck of a preview.
I'm surprised I didn't have to log in for that preview.
So, Merlin, what are elfin pickup lines? I mean,
your cave or mine?
Actually, more of your tree,
your tree
or mine.
Or mine? That would be more your tree or mine. Yeah.
Your
glade or mine?
You walk up to them, you touch them on the shoulder, and
okay,
you say,
so what's next?
Bella.
So I guess you guys would really like to play with his dice.
Yes, yeah, pretty much.
As in, ring my
dice.
Something we said for a natural 20 there.
New movie coming. new movie coming out. Gonna have to double check and see when it's coming here to Houston. I know there's some previews are coming up for it soon. It's called A Single Man. The Single Man is co-produced by Designing Man Tom Ford, which so I was reading. It's a gay college professor, Colin Firth, who is nearly enveloped in grief after the unexpected death of his partner in a car crash far from their LA home. Lectures his class on the ways that fear is used by corporations and governments to control our lives. This shockingly modern theme was not out of place in the film, despite its early 60s settings, and it caused, and trying to pull out some of where he's the Joe, my blah, or whoever wrote the review on this. His closest friend is a fellow expatriate Londoner, Charlie, Julianne Moore, whose love for George blurs the lines between bosom buddy and hopeful suitor. They've made love in the past, but doesn't everyone go with girls when they're young? But it meant too little to him and too much to her. Their kindred spirits and their displacement among the Americans. And their closest illusion. Basically, he runs over to England to hide. The cutie we were talking about earlier is things get interesting for him when his attention, and maybe more, is aggressively pursued by Kenny, who's played by Nicholas Holt, a young student of his who's fascinated or concerned by his professor, who seems as easy with his sexuality as George is cautious with his. Kenny is a challenge, and over time becomes more and more obvious. The questions he poses have the power to bring George clarity, the one thing he seeks. The one thing we're looking at there is Nicholas Holt, who plays Kenny, played originally back when he was a young child in About a Boy. And he played recently in the movie Skins, TV series Skins. He played Tony in series one of that, which we talked about a lot before. Lots of nudity. Skins is a British mini soap opera that revolves around the lives of 17-year-old English kids dealing with sex, drugs, and all the pitfalls in that. And
so this movie takes place back in the 60s?
Yeah, with a gay professor.
Wow.
So hopefully we'll get some more information on that here. Let's just jump into Adam Lambert now.
Yeah, well, we'll leave that up to whoever he's screwing this week.
For those of you who have been living under a rock here, last week Adam Lambert performed his new single For Your Entertainment on the American Music Awards. damn near brought Dick Clark out of his stroke.
Wow.
His performance was very sexually charged.
Yeah.
Involving men on all fours with a leash. simulated acts of fellatio. Simulated acts of masturbation of others.
A David Bowie concert?
But the biggest issue came in the fact that he went and kissed one of the male backup performers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Wait, the kiss got it, but not the other stuff?
Not the blowjob?
I that's what seems to be what's stuck in everybody's crawl. Because, in fact, when the award show was tape delayed for the West Coast, it was the kiss that was edited out. His entire performance stayed except that kiss. The following day, he was scheduled to appear on Good Morning America, where Good Morning America said, we can't have you on our show.
Yeah, because CBS got in trouble a few years back with this.
Well,
when they had the Super Bowl.
But there's a difference because
well, I understand that.
You know, GMA has been on the air most of my lifetime and then some, and you know they need to grow a pair.
Well, but here's the strange thing: is now Good Morning America decided we can't have Adam Lambert because of his performance. So he went over to CBS This Morning, the early show, who discussed the controversy, mm-hmm. and had him, and they showed the clip. When they got to the part where he kissed the other guy, CBS blurred over the image of them kissing.
Jesus. CBS is notoriously conservative.
But not. Then immediately following this to talk about situations like this, they showed the Madonna Britney kiss.
And they showed
it. Oh, and that's perfectly okay.
And they
showed
it.
They didn't blur it. Nothing.
CBS responded with the excuse of, we gave this some real thought. The Madonna image is very familiar and has appeared countless times, including many times on morning television. The Adam Lambert image is a subject of great current controversy and is not nearly as widely disseminated, and for all we know may still lead to legal consequences.
Wow.
The word I'm thinking of, it starts with B, ends with T. You fill in the rest.
Hypocrisy?
So, well, you know what it
is. That's incredible spin, I'll tell you.
It comes down to a good set of words that they have listed here. Double standard.
Yeah. That's the kind of spin tornadoes in Texas don't have.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Now, part of the issue that also comes from this is that the FCC is getting involved into this because there has been, there was 1,500 complaints to ABC. And Peter La Barrera of the Liberty Council has filed a FCC indecency complaint over his performance. The Lambert performance featured, among other things, simulated oral sex, suggestive crotch grabbing, and simulated digital penetration, sadomasochistic conduct, and a homosexual open mouth kissing. The Lambert performance was obscene. Broadcasting obscene, da 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 da. Yeah, we know this story here, what obscene is. The Lambert performance lacks serious artistic value. ABC touted the Lambert performance as what everyone will be talking about tomorrow. Lambert's musical performance was not the crux of the performance. It was the obscene sexual conduct that ABC touted, and thus the purpose was not to display serious artistic interest.
But they left in the sexual behavior, but not the kiss.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, the like I said, the twisted part about it is, you know, the Madonna-Britney kiss was on MTV, which means it was outside of the jurisdiction of the FCC. The FCC only has dominion over terrestrial television and radio.
Then why are so many cable shows that I see blanked out every time somebody says a four-letter word?
Because they're scared. Because there is the... All it takes is an act of Congress to say, okay, we're going to start regulating these stations. But there are some stations who don't care that much. You turn on BBC America, and they follow their standards over there. Mm-hmm. So you will hear the S word. They still blank out the F word. Mm-hmm. But you will hear those performances of saying other words that are part of R7, mm-hmm. which is actually 5, sometimes 4. But they take a tighter, they have a looser line on that. That's why you see... Comedy Central and Logo have late night performances at midnight that they don't edit and they don't censor the programming and they warn you ahead of time and before each commercial break. But because ABC is still considered a broadcast station, although 90% of the country sees it through their cable box, they're still under FCC jurisdiction. And with the possibility of the, was it $385,000 per incident. So basically, he could be nailed for each fellatio, each sadomasochistic, each kiss per station.
And that's a lot of, and a lot of the ABC, a lot of the ABC stations are owned and operated by Disney now because Disney bought out the parent company that owns a lot of the ABC
Capital Communications, I think it was. Capcom.
Here's what gets me. I heard the part about 1,500 complaints.
Yeah.
And I said to myself, 1,500 complaints when 20 million people watched the damn show.
And I'll bet you...
And I am beyond sick to death of the morality police. I am beyond sick to death of parents whining about a show which their kids shouldn't have been watching in the first place, given what time it was airing. Number two... Number three, I am sick of parents using a TV to babysit their kids, and they expect the TV to have more responsibility than they do for their kids.
All of those were points that Adam Lambert raised on CBS, going, you know, considering the hour of the night, kids should have right. been in bed,
absolutely.
You know.
Our movies and our TV shows... have things that are just as bad. I mean, just as crazy. They had a... I don't know if you watch Stargate Universe. It's on the Sci-Fi Channel.
There's a lesbian couple on there.
And they just did a show where they got back together for the first time in a long
period
of time.
They were all smoochy-smoochy.
And they were on top of each other.
Well, I think when if you...
Just makes my blood boil.
If you actually sit and listen to the lyrics of the song he was singing, it was, you know, I'm here for your entertainment. That's all. Mm-hmm. And I think it's quite appropriate of what he's saying is that, you know, he said he's learned, you know, he's not sorry for what he did. He just, you know, maybe he'll stick a little closer to what he rehearses.
Yeah, I heard that part.
And I think it's part of it is that, you know, with the exception of that kiss, everything else was seen by the standards in broadcasting, and they were okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just all of a sudden that kiss. Find the article. One of the groups that are speaking out against him and this is GLAAD, the Gay Lesbian Association Against Defamation, who feels that Adam Lambert has set back gay marriage.
How is it that GLAAD always ends up so off? It's amazing to me. There's gay rights organization, and yet they seem to spend an awful lot of time saying things and acting like they're almost as bad in this century as the folks in the very earliest fights before Stonewall, who felt like they had to look exactly like the most perfect preppy folks in suits and ties and not be exactly who they were. There's something wrong with this.
It's almost like they apologize.
Yeah. It's like, have they become the apologist organization?
Well, the fact that, you know, I'm not coming up that article. Now they're saying that they, you know, but they did defend Adam Lambert with being canceled by Good Morning America. You know, some musical performances, regardless of sexual orientation of the performer, are tailored for a primetime audience and not for a morning show audience. It's disappointing that GMA did not give Adam Lambert the opportunity to tailor his performance to their audience, as he did on their show in August 2009. After receiving 1,500 viewer complaints about Lambert's show closing performance on the ABC broadcast, and where he kissed a male keyboard player, grabbed a female dancer's crotch, dragged another around by her ankles, and mimicked oral sex from a male dancer, GMA pulled the plug on his appearance. Here's some other little tidbits with us. Good Morning America, later on in the week, showed a concert by Rihanna, whose skirt slipped up and exposed
her panties
on air. So they had to mention the fact that she had a wardrobe malfunction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
On that. So, and speaking of Rihanna, this Good Morning America is booking convicted felon Chris Brown immediately after dumping Alan Lambert. Brown will do a taped tell-all with Robin Roberts, followed by a performance of songs from his new album.
Because it's so much better to have a guy who's been accused of domestic abuse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't beat women, that's cool.
Beating
but
the
kissing?
Crud
no,
out,
no.
Of, out of his girlfriend, that they can have him on the air.
TV insiders say the appearance slated to air the week after next has outraged feminists and gay activists who wonder why a convicted girlfriend abuser is more palatable to the network than an openly gay man who broke no laws with his raunchy performance on the AMA. An ABC source said the network is giving mixed message. It says it doesn't trust someone who's shocked with an unpredictable show and a gay kiss, but is happy to go ahead with Chris Brown, who's a convicted felony assault. ABC News has insisted asked Lambert's sexual orientation to not play a role in the decision to pull the plug. ABC RR said that they ruled that the American Idol star sexed up shenanigans on the Sunday's award show, which include him groping a female dancer, kissing a male musician, and shoving a male dancer into his crotch, were inappropriate for morning TV. He was not canceled over a gay kiss. He showed him to be unpredictable on live television. Okay. Here's the thing.
Oh, wait. Unpredictable on live TV. He would have been sitting there doing an interview with somebody. There would have been nobody else around.
Well, he interviewed and then he performed. When he did the CBS show, they had an interview. And then he went and performed with four backup singers and performed the same song in a totally different setting. Just the four of them standing there singing. First of all, these programs are live on the East Coast.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They are not live
anywhere else.
It is tape delayed an hour for Houston. That's why now they can get away with saying it's 7:53 in the morning, because when they do it and film it in New York City in 7:53, they don't show it here in Houston until it's 7:53. Yeah. Two, there is an 8-second delay. At least they can go up to a 2-minute delay in television, which they most famously talked about when the Super Bowl after the Janet Jackson breast, saying that we went
wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
That was so silly.
Ridiculous.
That you've got 8 seconds, you cancel. Or you do like they did during his performance on the AMAs. When they saw something they didn't like, they switched cameras and went to a wide shot.
Mm-hmm.
There was the kiss. As soon as they saw him go in for the kiss with the male dancer, boom, wide shot.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't in the middle of the screen blown up. So they can handle that.
And usually on those live shows like that, they have a person, they have two people behind the scenes in the control room. One of them is monitoring the cameras, and one of them is telling the person at the controls to switch to that camera. So you can easily switch camera angles, no problem.
And if with all the crap he was getting from that, if he would have been stupid enough to pull it again, they should have tased his ass and dragged him out of the studio.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I think, you know, I mean, even though he says he's not sorry for what he did, and he shouldn't be. He kissed a guy.
Big deal.
He liked it.
Big deal.
You know, this is the situation we have of this double standard, that you can do that. And as we said this, you know, women, the female artists can come out there and be sexual, they can be sensuous, they can be naughty. You know, Britney Spears can dress like a Catholic schoolgirl and come out acting all slutty during her song. You know, you can have rap artists with women shaking their asses and slapping them on the ass and call them a bitch and a hoe. And all that's fine. All that's fair game. But
two guys kissing.
Yeah, you know, the fellatio, simulated fellatio, may have been over the top. But like I said, they got their panties in a bunch on a gay kiss. I was hoping we're getting past that point, but, you know, I guess when we really see what's California and Maine and all that other stuff here, it's...
Mm-hmm. It's another step back.
I guess we think we're in a better bubble here.
You had some nationwide movements that helped overturn those two states' gay rights movements.
But it's...
I'm saying this quietly because my impulse is to scream right now, but I am sick.
I am beyond sick to death of people acting like the TV should have their standards. That everything they see on TV should have their standards. No, you should teach your kid your standards in your house. And guess what? You're the parent. Turn off the TV. Shut down the computer. If you don't want your kid to see it, don't let him see it, him or her, see it in the house.
But unfortunately,
and otherwise, shut the ever-loving F up.
And if you
because the rest of the world shouldn't have to live by your standards.
And if you can't instill your beliefs and your values into your child to your satisfaction, that's a parenting issue on your part.
Yeah.
That's not my responsibility.
Exactly.
Because it's not the rest of our responsibility to parent you.
Yeah, because frankly, you know, personally, I'm tired of my next door neighbor trying to tell me what to do. Mm. Get the hell out of my business. It's my life. Go live yours.
But that's your mother.
My other next door neighbor.
See, I think this,
she doesn't care what the hell I do.
I think this highlights a bigger issue.
I'm sure she probably cares about one or two things, but it doesn't have anything to do with you being gay.
Right. There's a lot of things on TV I have to tolerate. When I turn on the TV and I watch the news today, I see a lot of people say a lot of things that really offend me, but I'm a grown-up. And I can understand that they have different opinions than me, and it flabbergasts me that other people don't have that flexibility.
See, and I think this highlights something, you know, to a lot of the people, you know, who think that, oh, you know, we have gay rights already. No, things are not hunky-dory. You know, we haven't gotten to where we need to be.
Yeah, I mean, we take a step forward in some areas, and we take two steps back in another area, unfortunately.
I think the big picture here is that parents need to understand that television is not a babysitter. Turn off the television. Interact with your child once in a while. Discuss with them what they saw on television. Are they okay with it? Does it make them feel uncomfortable? And as a parent, you need to tell your child, I am not comfortable with you seeing this program or seeing, you know, what's on TV right now.
Or let's just put it this way. It was somewhere between 9:30 and 10 o'clock at night,
right,
here in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In New York,
it was 11 o'clock.
It was almost 11 o'clock at night. The next day is a school day. What the hell are your kids still doing up? If they're going to be that young that you're so afraid of how traumatized they're going to be from seeing this, their asses should have been in bed.
Yep.
You know, I got a 10-year-old and a 10-year-old niece and a 5-year-old nephew. You know, if there's no school the next day, yeah, they're up later. But I know that by 9 o'clock at night, they're in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents watch what they do on that. They're very strict on what they can and cannot watch. To the point that sometimes that drives me nuts. Mm-hmm. But there's got to be a point where you either have to believe your child can do that, can decipher for themselves, or you're just going to repress them the entire time. My father was looking at getting a laptop for my niece to get her, you know, through school, so she has, you know, she can get the stuff done. I said, well, you have to ask her parents if they're going to be okay with that. And he says, why? Well, you can put filters on. I said, yeah, but you can put filters on it so much that if she wants to do a report on breast cancer, she's not going to be able to get any information.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as you type in the word breast, it's going to shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you're going to the Susan G. Komen website or Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get knocked off if you put the settings on too strict, and it's useless then.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how all this is going to eventually play out with this. And, if you know, and another part of this is, you know, if you don't know who Adam Lambert is already, if you're not paying enough attention, if you have not seen the album cover for the song he was performing, to realize this is going to be a wild glam,
mm-hmm,
in-your-face event.
He wears more makeup than some drag queens.
Yeah, I mean, take a look.
He wears more makeup than my mom.
His album cover is very 80s glam look, mm-hmm, which is his style. And you should have known what you were getting into. And if you were offended by the gay kiss, I think you would have turned off the TV the first time you saw him walking the guy on a leash.
Yeah.
You know, self-censorship says if you were going to be offended by two guys kissing, you know, walking the guy on a leash...
Might have been your first moment to turn the TV
I would have flipped
find another channel.
To find another channel and be the grown-up.
Hey, 700 Club's coming up. I'll click over to that.
Okay.
You know, when he started to allegedly digitally penetrate the singer.
Yeah, Jerry Falwell was on the other channel, wasn't he?
Would have clicked over.
Or his ghost.
Yeah. As soon as you saw the guy being grabbed by his ears and pulled into his crotch, I would have clicked over. So, if you were going to be offended by the gay kiss, you should have turned off by then if you weren't so totally turned on
by everything else.
Exactly.
Because I know Golden Girls is on Lifetime.
Lifetime or Hallmark. Or
all damn day.
Disney. Hey, there's a whole section of TV stations that are blocked on my television that you could have gone to that would have given you everything from Eternal Word Television to Jesus Christ TV to Brigham Young Television that would have...
Brigham Young. I'm sorry.
Which... trust me, if there was a station called Brigham Young, I would not be blocked on mine.
Does anybody notice that the older Pat Robertson get, the more he starts to look like one of the orcs from Lord of the Rings?
Now that you mention it.
Pretty soon he'll be a ring wraith.
I mean, those ears get any pointier, somebody will be looking at him and go, live long and prosper.
Well, you know, the points on his ear just match the points on his head.
Yeah.
He looks like a troll.
A little bit of GLBT history news this week.
Yay. Since we got a few minutes
not
left here.
Not good. Not good. Let's see. November 29th, 1986, the death of 82-year-old Archibald Leach.
Oh, yes.
Better known as Cary Grant. While rumors of Grant's sexuality have been around for years, consider the perspective words of U.S. Congressman Bob Dornan spoken on the House floor. Quote, I don't think Cary Grant was a homosexual or bisexual. He just got carried away at those orgies.
Wow.
Denial, man.
Wow.
Do it for Randolph Scott.
That's a great river in Egypt.
Yeah.
It's a really pretty river.
November 28th, 1994, homosexual cannibal Jeffrey Dahmer was beaten to death with a broomstick by inmate Christopher Scarver while cleaning the prison bathroom. Dahmer's brain was to be preserved in formaldehyde at the request of his mother, but his court ordered its destruction in late 1995. Thus again, we have to remember the sick and cruel joke of how much I admired him because he always had friends over for dinner and they stayed the night. And November 27, 1978, former policeman Dan White kills San Francisco Mayor George Moscone and homosexual supervisor Harvey Milk.
Moscone, sorry.
My hand was in my lap. I couldn't do the hand gesture.
Sorry.
White later used the Twinkie defense to get a short sentence, but suicides after his release. With some of the other stories we're covering, one thing interesting about that is... in some ways, how far we've come in 31 years.
Uh-huh.
Especially when you look at what could happen, you know, 31 years and 2 weeks after the death of Harvey Milk, how far we could really end up going.
Yeah.
But right now, our movement is stopped because a runner-up on a pop show decided to play tonsil hockey with a blonde keyboardist on Dick Clark's awards show.
By the way, it was a really hot kiss.
If you can still find it on the net, it keeps getting pulled for copyright infringement.
Oops.
You know, it has to think of where we've come in the movements of, you know, 31 years since Milk, the 40 years since Stonewall.
And how far we still have to go.
We have a long way to go.
So
unreal.
Something to think about here in these next couple of weeks when you've making decisions, when you go into a different kind of closet.
to...
Or a different kind of booth.
No, so I'm sticking with closets. I'm not trying to be too obvious. Remember, we have to...
Yes, yeah.
We have to walk a fine line. Just some things to think about. Where we are and where we're going and where we've been.
Have you seen the way I walk? I don't walk lines very well.
Anyhow, you don't walk anything.
You don't even
well.
Walk straight.
You walk crooked.
Anyhow, moving on.
This is After Hours. Queer Radio with Attitude. Coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pas Salé.
Good night, kids.
Woo!
Good night.
If you want to get in touch with us, you can. Yeah, go ahead. You can always drop us a regular mail at After Hours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
LOVETT. Love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
You can also send us an email at afterhours@kpft.org. Facebook.com/afterhours.
Yeah.
Is how that works. You can find us there. We'd love to hear from you. Story ideas, news ideas, your stories of Mary's. We'll pass them on. I know I've been sharing a lot of stuff with Brandon.
Mm-hmm.
Wolf on that.
Yes.
Love mail, hate mail.
Dirty pictures!
Did I spike the needle?
I wasn't paying attention that time.
My ears are bleeding, so. It's time now for your PSAs. See you next week.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get
me. I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
More than coffee, more than chocolate, more than a massage, volunteering makes you feel good. And it costs less, too. Avenue Community Development Corporation hosts group volunteer work days several times a month, where groups of volunteers provide landscaping, do site cleanup, and more. Also, Avenue CDC needs volunteers to assist with our annual fundraiser.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.